Riders, Rangers, and Rebels, Season 2. Sugarman Shinobi is the legendary underground toy reviewer. Dawson Rider is Awesome Rider. And Jedimon is sleeping.
Welcome to RR Season 2, Episode 8.
Happy 4th day of July. That was so clever.
It was.
It came to me just spontaneously. That sounded gross.
It's not all that came to me spontaneously. Oh.
Giggity.
Giggity. Oh, look, Rider Zero came online. He probably won't say hi to us because he's probably stuck at Walmart somewhere.
He came online like an hour ago. Where have you been?
Any more comments from you, sir? I didn't think so.
I'm gonna say this now just cause for those of you that haven't checked the rant boards lately, one, shame on you. Two, our question and answer anniversary episode is now available exclusively on the RAM boards because I don't have server space for it. So
it's exclusive.
It is download only.
It's a RAM board shop exclusive.
You don't even have to go to Oki for this one.
Yeah. But yeah, you can go check that out there. You can download the M4A or the MP3.
Or the MVP.
Keep in mind that if you get the enhanced version, you're going to have to change a couple of like the titles and stuff in order to get it into the podcast section of your iTunes. So I put instructions there because I'm cool like that. So.
And because you're gay.
And that was just quiet.
Okay, so anyway, on to the one-ups.
And that's quiet again.
Well, I'm waiting for people to start.
Brian, you always go first.
Okay, I was just...
Okay, it's the one-ups. Oh my god, it's the one-ups. Okay. I've acknowledged your presence. There's fireworks outside.
There is. Not here anymore because it's...
At least fireworks it makes sense. In my diaper.
Okay. So anyway, Tuesday, my biblical literature class started, and that was stupid. But then after that, I got to see Transformers, Dark of the Moon, which my review will be up by then, I promise.
Better be. Ow, that hurt my hand.
I was planning on finishing it today, and then things happened.
And then he can't buy Go Say Jiro.
But anyway, I thought it was fantastic. I mean, there's a couple flaws with it, but nothing that I can't look past and just have fun with a movie that's meant to have fun with. Or what? That was gross. Anywho.
No, having fun with yourself in the movie.
Short story
long,
it was great. If you want more of my thoughts, go ahead and read the review and all of that. Of course, to coincide with the movie, I bought a bunch of more Transformers.
He took them with him to the theater, too.
My box got here on Wednesday. So that had Beelzemon, Birth, Wing Zero.
Isn't Birth cool?
Birth is cool. Birth is very cool. His neck is kind of long, though, for some reason.
That's what she said.
The Legend Sentai Tyranoranger and this...
Isn't he cool?
This Bulma
his hair doesn't even...
He doesn't move at all. His hair does not move. It is epic. It is accurate 100%. But this Bumblebee model, the dual model kit, was an absolute pain in the ass to put together.
I got one of those. Oh, wait, no, I realized it was in my cart and took it out before, you know...
But I really like him. He's poseable. He's cool. He's probably the most accurate Bumblebee yet, obviously, because he's a model kit and he doesn't transform. So there's a lot of liberties they can take with this guy.
Liberties, 4th of July.
Try with your gay.
Happy 4th of July, anyway. Everyone, by the way. I hope you had a good one. Take care and have a great one.
All right, see you later.
Got a bunch of morphers and changers. And yeah, that's about it. Transformers, Ami-Ami Box, Morphers.
There's epic shopping stories.
Morphers? Oh, wait, what
were
Morphers?
There was epic. Watch my vlog, bitch.
I was there.
There is epic shopping stories. I will I'll tell this one since Kevin fell asleep 5 minutes before it began.
Are you? Oh,
it was literally 5 minutes. I looked at the chat.
No, I think I was asleep like before then.
His head is typewriting monkey, typing everything.
Okay, so we knew the figurettes were going to go up either the 30th or the 1st. And when they didn't happen on the 30th, obviously it was going to happen on the 1st. We knew that. So we're all waiting in anticipation. Kevin's in a hotel.
I was at Nationals.
And so we're like, okay, we're ready. And then Kevin's just like, yeah, I'm here. And then long period. And then he woke up and he's like, I'm here again. And then he passed out 5 minutes before they activated. But anywho.
Okay, in all fairness, the Omni was broken. I couldn't get on it. There's no need for me to be awake.
Okay.
Well, I probably could have been like, hey, Dawson Barnaby, and then he wouldn't have forgot it.
When it's broken, you just sit there and you keep refreshing and crying until it happens. That's
so,
what we
yeah,
did.
We were getting fished and gateway errored, even though two of us are on a Mac.
And proxy errored because
because she took over Ami. And I don't know, there were so many things happening, and we're like, oh, the figure arts, refresh, and then finally, it came back slightly, they were up, I was still getting fished, so Dawson was our only hope.
you are our last hope.
It was in unison, that was scary.
So he got his, and I'm like, oh, get mine, and then so he got mine, and then I look at my email, and I realize Barnaby's not there. I'm like, what happened to Barnaby?
And then I went, no, until they went out of stock.
And then I refreshed Barnaby, and my Ami was working again, so I'm like, yes, add to cart, and I bought Barnaby, and then I was like, I can get your Barnaby while he was getting Kevin's, and then Barnaby was sold out. I'm like, oh, fuck that. So... So I was successfully purchased myself a Barnaby and no one else because, well, shit happens. And
clearly.
And then I bought for Rio.
Zay?
And
Sound Out. And Matt. Did you get Matt?
Oh, yeah, I bought for Matt, too.
Yeah.
I bought for four people.
I bought for two, but their names are highlighted on the RAM board, so they count as two, so I technically bought for four.
But yeah, not too epic of a story. The most of epic was just us sitting here yelling a lot and refreshing the pages.
Yeah. Going crazy, having mental breaks.
Going, oh, this is endless!
I didn't think we shook like that, but...
Well. It's like we're getting electrocuted.
That was earlier, before the podcast started, we were getting electrocuted.
Yeah. Well, you know, things happen, and then I can't buy Ghost Sager, so... Oh, yeah, I did. That's right. I didn't lie to people.
Hey, I had a budget, and I was listening to it, kind of.
Well, I still think you're stupid.
And I still think you are okay.
That's beside the point, sir.
Whatever. Anyway.
Is Dawson going to go for his one-ups or
okay,
what?
Okay, sorry. I was typing of them. Damn it, I may type toe instead of two. Good job. Okay, so
good job.
Let's see. I haven't gotten any boxes because everything's Sal. Wait, I did get a box. I got the Oki box, but I didn't do a vlog because I thought it was a waste of a video, so I just opened everything.
And what was in it?
Skull Crystal, Cyclone Joker Gold Extreme, Terra Dopant, and then the Shinken Blue Key on the Gashpon set 6 and 5.
That's not epic at all.
No, but it wasn't. I don't. The vlogs are just kind of worthless. But anyway, so I got that stuff and reviewed it, and I bought an Optimus the same exact time and day as Brian did, the deluxe one, yeah. Hive Mind, and then we started playing with it and having fun. And
that's why Brian didn't get his homework done.
And then I saw Dark of the Moon, and I thought it was epic. And I'm not those people like, oh my god, what the hell was that hot chick doing in front of my robots? God. Why aren't they like they're completely unrelated pieces of fiction? But I really enjoyed it. And let's see, what else? I watched Overdrive this week for my assigned homework. And I don't think too much else. Just, you know, the usual. It's about all. That's a spittle. That's what it sounded like.
Spittle.
I don't know.
Chia pet. Well, I guess it's my turn.
Yes.
Lasers.
Lasers.
So I was gone all week.
Later.
I was in Texas Nationals getting two bronze medals because I'm a cool guy face. And what else? I got, epically, I was walking out the door. We're all packed up. And as I'm leaving, mailman shows up with my Miami box. I'm like, yes, this is epic timing. I actually got to sign for the box instead of having like to go find them at the post office and say, give me my stuff. So I got Ranger Key Set 3 finally. Tyranno Ranger, Gokai Silver, Gold Moldo, Birth, and Shadow Moon. Hubbub still to be determined. And I like opened my box and took my keys and ran. pretty much what happened. I was like, keys! Runs away.
They're all bald. They're all related to Rufus.
But they were fun, and I was glad to have them, and they're my friends. And I haven't got anything else, just the epic shopping from when I was away in Texas, and people had to buy for me. Did anything else happen? No. Nothing else happened, really. Just, I got to play video games again, because I had like an 8-hour car ride and needed something to do.
So we finally pick up that Pokemon again.
I don't even know what a Pokemon is. So, but yeah, I think that's pretty much it. Just chilling out.
Max and relaxing, all cool.
Pop.
Yeah.
What Brian the fireworks said.
Yeah.
What? Yeah. I don't know what's going on. Hello?
Who are you?
Hello. Okay. Sorry.
Just like, okay, fine.
Whatever. Are we done with the one-ups? Hello? Yes,
I think so.
Okay. So our first little tidbit of news here. A tidbit.
That's always funny.
It's a funny word there, tidbit.
Y'all are dirty.
So we have a ton, I think a ton, I don't know, lots, of information about Forze. The first article here discusses the plot, the staff, and the cast. Even though I think all that is touched upon in the next one too.
I'll touch him in the next story. Don't worry.
He's got keys.
I'll give them all funny names because I can't pronounce the real ones.
Okay. I'll try to tackle that then. So
he's got the stitches.
All right. So Forze is an experiment trying out two different things: outer space themes and school drama. Gentaro Kisaragi, a new transfer student at Amanogawa Academy, says, "I will become friends with everyone."
Yeah.
He's Brian.
On his first day, and creates the Kamen Rider Club.
He's Brian.
Sounds like me. That's how we came to know Kengo Kaisei. Kengo is the first one to have the Forze driver, but gives it to Gentaro, which drastically changes his life. So, Forze can insert different astro switches, which I think is in the next article.
This is what we're calling gimmick number 3.
Yeah. And as a Forze driver, you affect his legs and arms a la Birth. Forze will be completely different than the rest of the riders, and the magazine is not telling a lot for the moment. It only leaves us with a question such as, will he travel out to space with the rocket arm or something else? And what are Forze's powers? Just wait for the next article, bitch.
Invisibility, electrokinesis. Oh, I don't know. I'm just guessing.
So, the official staff for the series and cast members are as follows. Obviously, originally created by Shotaro Ishinomori, even though he is dead and did not create this at all.
Wow.
Well, I didn't realize.
He deserves no credit whatsoever.
Well, I mean, he made Kamen Rider, but I mean, he didn't have nothing to do with Forze. The script is by Kazuki Nakashima, who did the script writing for Gurren Lagann. And this Edo Rocket thing, Cutie Honey, some other things, Shin-chan movie, and Doubles Yesterday arc.
Yesterday.
So if you like Yesterday, which apparently Kevin did because he made that hilarious summary, then we're in good shape. Plus, Gurren Lagann, I heard, is a fantastic anime, so I think it's in good hands. Probably the best news out of this...
fantastic arc, okay?
...is the director is Koichi Sakamoto. So,
Trider!
If basically you liked how Rider was handled in Double Forever and the Returns movies, then you're in for a treat because Forza is going to be all of that all the time, which is awesome.
Yes.
Explosions and lasers. Forza is going to be like, lasers! And then he's going to shoot them.
So the action director is Tsuyoshi Miyazaki, and the special effects director is Butsuta Hiroshi, and the producer is Kengo Matoi, Tsukada Hideaki, and Kazuhiro Takahashi.
I think in the next post, whenever I talk, just put Brian's voiceover of that over me, so that I don't sound like a complete idiot.
I can just say it for you.
Okay.
That's not as much fun.
Okay, so our cast, which we'll go into their characters more in the next little thing. So our official cast from left to right in this picture thing, Gintaro Kisaragi is played by Sota Fukushi. Kengo Kaisei is played by Ryuki Takahashi, who was supposed to be playing Forze, according to the rumors, but he's playing the side character instead. Yuki Jojima, played by Fumika Shimizu. She was that first chick that we...
You just make these names up.
Miwa, played by Rikako Sakata.
Miwa!
Miwa! Hayabusa Daimonji.
Is that the guy with the green shirt?
No.
Oh, damn it. Perfect name for him.
Played by Justin Tomimori. Yuko Nozama, played by Shiho, so she must be...
Shiho.
I'm sorry.
I just like to have that name.
It's
like an Austin Powers name.
This person named JK/Jake, played by Shion Tsuchiya.
Tsuchiya!
Played by Yuka Konan. Chuta Osugi, played by Ungirl?
Unagi?
He's part of a comedy duo, probably. Tanaka Takushi, and then the Mysteries.
That explains that face.
Yeah, it definitely explains the face. Played by Shingo. Shingo's Tsurumi. Second, the names of the second characters on the series, not the second character, the secondary characters, are a play on the names of the Showa Kamen Riders. For example, Kengo Kaisei's name can also be read as Kengo Utahoshi.
See, it's not as easy as it looks.
An anagram of Takeshi Hongo, a.k.a. Kamen Rider Ichigo. In Hayabusa Daimonji's case, is a kanji swapped around to form the name Hayato Ichimonji.
I would have never guessed
which
that.
Which is Nigo.
Don't forget Ken Ichijochi.
JK might mean Jin Kisuke, a.k.a. Kamen Rider X.
It's definitely not X. There's no way that guy's X. It's probably Sky Rider or something.
Stupid. And obviously, Nozama is just the name Amazon rearranged.
Obviously.
And then
I am Nozama.
Yuki Jojima is Rider Man.
Yeah. Strong Man.
That's the only other one I know off the top of my head. I don't know other people's, but...
And Mysterious Man, oh wait, no, I don't.
Mysterious Man is obviously Shocker Leader.
He's clearly guy doing stuff.
So, Forza celebrates the 50th anniversary since Yuri Gagarin went into space. He was a Russian dude. He was the first...
Damn, Russians.
This series is a communist show? This show.
The only good thing
the
Russians ever gave us was Tetris.
And they want you to see Forze as Yuri since he's the first rider to go into space, I guess. I don't know where they got that from. I guess the article said something.
I think near the end of the article they just started making stuff up.
So, anyway, on to the next article.
Okay, here we go.
Go, Dushim.
Okay, so this is stuff from the press conference. This is last year when we had Rage quitting because they showed cardboard cutouts and we didn't like that. Okay, so get ready for a shocker. Kamen Rider Forze's driver is called the Forze driver. Can you believe it?
Fuck.
I thought it was going to call it bananas and pajamas, but whatever.
Coming downstairs.
It's a bulky belt that has four astro switches, and each switch corresponds to arms and legs to do different parts, like you said, birth. Right arm rocket, right leg launcher, left arm radar, deno symbol.
Is this Twister?
Left leg drill. Yes.
Left leg drill. Okay.
Right leg blue, I don't know. In the press conference, we get to see Forza in action with his belt, and it goes 3, 2, 1, Rangers in space. And they started playing the space theme.
Said controls to outer space now, flying higher than ever before.
Stop harmonizing, it's creeping me out.
Rangers in space. Go Power Rangers, go Power Rangers, go Power Rangers, go, 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 go fly. Go Power Rangers, go Power Rangers, go in space.
Okay, so, and then it says he fights a monster and he has a typical line of a high school student, "Arg, I'm late." I think that's a typical pirate high school student. Arg, just be me.
Arg, I'm late.
Okay, so.
Hope you didn't start the lesson, because I'm not there yet.
And
what's wrong with you?
I don't know what's going on. And then we got a picture of the cast all doing some pretty funny shit, especially the teacher guy. He looks like he's about to strip. The guy behind him looks like the teacher just touched him in the genitals. I don't know what's going on. All right, from left to right, here we go. Tomoko, Serena, Miwa, Shun, Chuta, Kengo, Gentaro, Yuki, and the man with red eyes, Black Dragon, Gentaro Kizaragi, yeah. The main character of the series, he's Danny Zuko, he's part of the T-Birds, he's like, oh, Grease Lightning, oh, wait. Okay, I had to make that joke. Anyway, so he's the main character, second year of high school, recently transferred to Amanogawa Academy. Why don't they just call it high school? I don't know. He's a bad boy, rocking a short pompadour hairstyle, man. What a badass. He declares that he'd become friends with everyone in school. He meets Kengo and is destined for them to meet. Sorry, I read that wrong. Gentaro receives a Forza driver and starts the Kamen Rider Club. We already knew about this. He seems to be an idiotic character.
Another one of those. We haven't had those in a while.
Okay, and then we have Kengo Utahoshi, the main character's partner. Oh, God. I didn't know they were tackling such serious issues this year. Also a second year, a young man who had the mysterious switches and is the key person to the whole story. He's Ankh. He throws him the switches. His locker seems to be distorting space and time. He's somehow able to reach the moon base, rabbit hatch, through the locker. That's epic.
We're going to Narnia?
He's also able to pull out the superbike machine, Mashugra.
Locker? Damn.
That's epic. I want to ride a bike out of a locker. He has a strong heart full of will. Oh, God. His heart's full of Red Overdrive Ranger.
Black Overdrive Ranger.
Okay, and then we have Yuki Jumanji.
Stupid.
Jumanji. The heroine of the story. She's a second year. She's Gintaro's childhood friend, a bright and cheerful high school student. She refers to herself as a space nerd. She usually heads over to the JAXA after high school. JAXA is some kind of space thing in Japan. That's what it says. I read it that way. She's the only one that Kengo can actually trust, and Kengo shared his secret with her about a special locker, and they have special time in the locker. God, there's a lot of characters. All right. Miyu Kazashiro, third year. What is this, Harry Potter? Fourth year. She's part of the Gryffindor tribe. Not tribe. I don't know. I'll stop now. She's somewhat of a queen of the high school. She's a cheerleader, the daughter of a rich family, blah, 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 queen V type, generic high school popular bitch.
No, that's just rude.
Well, that's what the article says. I'm like, she has two sidekicks to follow her. She's Rachel McAdams from Mean Girls, okay? There we go. So, June Daimonji, third year, the captain of the American football team. There's a hierarchy going on in the academy.
In America.
The sports-oriented guys at the top are usually bullies referred to as jock. God, this is generic. June is also standing at the absolute top. They said that already. Okay. Next. Yes. It's because it's 4th of July. He's got to represent. All right, and then Tomoko Nozama, first year. Oh, he's a freshman. It's cute. She's a goth girl with black makeup under her eyes. She always brings her tablet PC with her and has weird laughter. It's just a weird description. She seems fixated and obsessed on various things, but the details are unknown. And then we have Then we have JK. He's just kidding. Jake, first year. He's the information provider of the school. He easily detects danger in a crowd who always runs away. He sounds funny. And it's Serena Sonoda. This is their hot homeroom teacher that they all masturbate to. That's exactly what this says if you read between the lines. There's their homeroom teacher, she's young and beautiful, and all the students love her. Just saying, total MILF. Okay, next one is Chuta. What the hell? Usugi? Okay, the geography teacher. He's a middle-aged man with bad looks and personality. No one seems to like him. No one masturbates to him. He seems to be trying to get in with Sonata, but just won't happen. And then the Red Eyes Black Dragon is a card that Joey wins from. Oh, wait. The man with the red eyes is a mysterious man who caused some incident and has the Zodiac switches. What about Zodiac? Okay. He just, like, lost the answer in America. He seems to have a connection with the school, but he's a complete mystery. Also, Sota, who played Gentaro, Kamen Rider Force Jackopedia entry states that he's auditioned for Kamen Rider Force parents because his parents are big fans. Kamen Rider Force premieres September 4th, and I love the picture here of him pretending to be Godzilla, and he's like, due to international copyright laws, it isn't. That's exactly what's happening.
It's so funny. It's like that movie.
Okay, yeah. Discuss.
All right.
Okay, so I am enjoying Forze so far. It is a fantastic program.
It hasn't started yet.
Shut up.
Look, if you've seen the movie Grease, that pretty much carries it.
The characters are fantastic. This guy here, I'm pretty sure he's flaming. I don't know what's happening to him. I'm concerned why our main character, though, has this hairstyle.
Because he's a Yankee or a Yankee.
He's a badass. That's what badass wore in the 50s.
They wear pompadours. And it does sound like your typical high school. We have the jocks and the cheerleaders, and I don't understand why. I mean, I know it's high school, that's why, but why we needed to include this as the locker to Narnia sounds like fun.
Somebody just got bitch slapped by Narnia.
I want to see him reach in and just pull a motorcycle out. Now, see, what I want to know is this one of those like full body lockers, or is this like one of those like we have a top and a bottom thing going?
Kevin wants to know if the body's full.
No, because I'd love to see if there's like a top and bottom locker situation where he just pulls the bike out of the top locker, just drops it on the floor. That'd be hilarious.
It'd be like Phil of the Future's locker, but a little bit more epic.
But the belt doesn't look that bad as far as size wise. I mean, it doesn't look as big as it initially comes off, and switches are cool. I like the switches. The first post that we use has like a pretty cool picture of the switches, and they look okay. I'm hoping there's not too many of them. But, yeah, Brian's buzzing me to finish, but that's under 30. But this could be okay. We're not getting anything that sounds like a ripoff of Candroids and memory gadgets or anything, so that's...
Memory gadgets,
not God, your mind's in the gutter.
Memory gadgets.
And so that's good. I find that good, just because that we're not going to just totally rip off O's and double.
Yeah, like, it's just so much lighter on the wallet, too, if they don't do any sort of the gadget things. Like, I mean, I like the memory gadgets, and I like the Candroids and stuff, because they're cute, but... Like, it would just be so much easier just to buy the driver and not have to worry about anything else until a new, like, driver comes out.
Yeah.
Yeah, or, like, the final power-up thing.
Kind of like and, how Decade was.
Yeah, Decade and, was nice. It had, like, three toys.
And we've been told that, you know, there'll be obviously some more switches at some point, but I'm hoping that they don't go the route of buy this giant $50 toy and spend $50 on shipping to get one switch. Like, no.
Yeah.
Please don't. And hopefully the, every figure art will not come with a rocket punch, which begs the question of how figure arts are going to work with this guy. But whatever.
Yeah, it'll be interesting to see, like, particularly how figure arts work, because I mean, he only has one form, but like he's got all these accessories. So like, are they going to like release an accessory pack later on? And
I think it'd be stupid for a main character to release an accessory pack as an exclusive. Something.
I was just thinking retail release myself.
I'd love to see, like, if they want to go the route of always including it, is to do, like, a deluxe set, like Momo.
I mean, he probably won't release until February, like the riders usually do. By then, they can probably make a set with him and his four main switchy things.
Mm-hmm.
But, I mean, as for the show itself, it'll be interesting, I think. I think with the not really the cast. I don't know anything about the cast, but the staff,
I like the guy in the green shirt.
The staff that they have built up for this, it seems like they kind of got their
shit together,
their groove going this time around.
I mean, we got Koichi as the director, which
just excites me. Period.
There's gonna be explosions.
everywhere.
Which is perfect for this, though, because we can get Wirefu and it's all in space, so it's okay and no one will care.
There's silence again.
I'm just thinking, like...
Oh, God.
I do that from time to time. Like, I mean, I'm just going to reserve most judgments until the first episode airs, but I'm liking what I see so far.
Yeah, like, I'm actually kind of looking forward to it. Like,
cautiously optimistic.
Yeah, like, yeah. His design grew a lot on me since last week, and I like his bike. The belt still bugs me. But, like, the whole high school setting is pretty unique, so I'm looking forward to see how they use it.
Yeah, hopefully it comes off well and not, like, Smart Brand High School.
Yeah. That was a mess.
I'm just glad he's not turning into different rider parts.
Yeah, that would have been...
Or mess. Eggs. That's next year, probably.
Yeah.
Look, I still agree with whoever it was that said it would have been hilarious, the idea of watching Brian try and collect eggs.
So I got this egg today. It's a Hercules egg.
Hercules. Hercules. Hercules.
I'm like, well, that would have just been hilarious.
So, anyway, I think that's about it for Forza. Like, I feel like there's more to say, but there really isn't until we get some more, like...
Until we see the toy pictures and start coming.
Yeah, mostly the toy pictures are going to do it for me.
Oh, God.
Which will hopefully be soon, damn it.
I want to jump out of my hobo seat.
It was in three days. The O's toy pictures came out on the 8th. So we'll see. It should be soon.
Did you write it down, or did you just like go back?
The toy picture should actually be up before or around the time this podcast comes out. So we won't have time to edit in our thoughts, so we'll have to wait till next week.
Yeah. People are always like, why didn't you talk about this? Because we recorded already. Man, stop badgering me.
Badger, mushroom.
That was the funniest joke I've ever heard in my life.
It was. Okay.
Oh crap, it's a yummy. Yummy Pixels, I gotta go find her. She's running wild, selling all her shit. Oh god, that sounded gross.
Selling all her shit.
You know the fanboys would buy it.
Alrighty.
So moving along?
Yes.
Yes, boss.
Yes.
Speaking of,
we're going
on
some Gokaiger things. So we have some upcoming episode summaries. So it says here, after we saw Abba Ranger, G Ranger, and Time Ranger's Grand Power, which is all one giant robot, we'll get some more tributes. In fact, three tributes plus images for the Flying Ghost Ship movie. Hooray!
Hey.
So episode 20, that's next week. It's called The Lost Forest. It says Navi tells the Gokaiders to search for the closed forest. Guy believes that Navi's talking about the Ginger Men, and they head to the Ginger Forest. It is later discovered that the treasure is the armor of Ginger Men.
Carrot Top is their leader.
Because the Ginger Men fought the Bourbon, a group of space pirates, they can't get along well with the Gokaiders, who are also space pirates. Hayuga, a.k.a. Japanese Mike, appears in front of them and tells Guy to give him the Gokai cellular. He states he can do a better job than Guy. And he's always adored Hyuga and is so shocked to hear such words. Basco arrives and is targeting the Ginger Man's grand power. We see a picture here of Magi Mother, Deca Master, Bull Black, and Wolzard Fire, all of whom are summoned by Basco and his homosexuality.
Basco sounds like a cleaning liquid.
Episode 21, The Heart of an Adventurer. The former Boken Red and Chifu called Satoru Akashi shows up.
Bokisha!
Out of nowhere, Satoru is seen standing on the Gokai Galleon. He's trying to retrieve the precious, the Heart of Hades. I don't know what that is. But for that, he needs help from the Gokaigers. Zangyak and the Jaryu clan, that's Moltor's crew, are also after the Heart of Hades, and it seems this will cause Ryuwan, that's Moltor's revival. Episode 22, The Promise from the Stars, is a non-tribute. It says the action commander Stargull appears. That's cool.
Smeargle?
Shut up. Episode 23, Human Lives are the Future of Earth. Navi tells them that kindness will lead to a meeting, and also that the planet is falling. I'm not sure why. Luca and Aim to Family are out in town, and they meet the paramedic Matsuri Tatsumi, the former Gopink of Gogol 5. And in front of this veteran woman soldier, Luca and Aim to Family try to impress Vasco's monster, Fire Droid Moran, appears. It's also said that Matoy, a.k.a. Go-Red, might be appearing in this episode because his blog entry mentions Gokai and I have transformed for a long time and posted a picture of the Gogo 5 team. That doesn't make any sense at all. There's also a rumor for the upcoming Hurricaneer tribute in which all three Hurricaneers will star in the episode. Well, that'd be fun. Then we have pictures for the movie. This first one is fake Gokaio has an eye patch and a hook arm. I don't remember hearing about fake Gokaio ever, so I must have been like
appeared.
A...
He disappeared. I didn't hear about him.
Then we have a picture of Skeletor and Mr. Metz's evil twin brother.
The guy with the baseball head is actually the leader of the Zangak, just so you know.
It says, Los Dark and Baseball Mask. I'm not sure what that is. We have an army of past foot soldiers, so I see Chillers and Triptoids and... Ugots.
Scream? What's Scream doing there?
I see Moogers and all kinds of things. There's the Batling there and evil things. Then we see evil things.
Evil things are in this photo.
We see fake Gokaio versus Gojurex at night. I don't know why that's important. Then we see the Battle Fever and Go Ranger Gokai changes. So they're finally going to use Dawson's favorite keys ever, Battle Fever J, in this movie.
Oh, sorry, a hairball.
So, yeah, that's about it for this, ladies and germs.
Miss America looks like one of those creepy acts that comes on America's Got Talent. Actually, their whole thing does. They're all going to get buzzed by Pierce.
I was watching it... what was it? A couple of weeks ago, and Pierce was stuck in like a snowstorm.
Oh yeah.
And Howie and Sharon Osbourne just started letting every act through.
Yeah, that was funny.
Like, oh, you're through. Like, damn.
He's in the car. Like, I just know what kind of acts they're putting through up there. I don't know why he's Australian now.
Everything.
Australian now.
Everything was through. It was hilarious. But anyway, about this.
I thought you were gonna say something.
No,
this.
Actually, it was to go to you guys.
Oh,
and
okay.
Then,
oh, okay.
I mean, since you want me to speak,
no,
I mean,
no, it's okay, it's okay.
No, Batman.
Okay, I guess I'll go then.
Okay.
Somebody go.
They sound exciting. Like, I don't really understand why, like, Bokenger's getting a tribute episode when they got their grand power in the movie.
Maybe because then they could get him back. One of the actors.
I guess they were that desperate. They're like, yeah, we kind of gave them your power already, but can you come back again? Because we ran out of people. You got an accent now, too.
Yeah, like, I don't know what kind of accent it was, though.
So... I mean, it'll be exciting, particularly because, like, Chifu was, besides Edgy, the only one that could stand in that show. So
I like
it'd be
the fact
cool to see him again.
That we're seeing actual villains from that show coming back, too, instead of just like, oh, hey, look, we're fighting Zangek, too. I like that the Jaru types, Jaru. They're coming back.
Wait, didn't he die?
No, they says they're trying to revive Ryuan.
Oh,
the,
okay.
Because at the end of the show, they were still fighting part of the Jaru.
Yeah, I know. They all didn't go away.
Because at the end, they're like, they fight the remainder of them. There's like three guys. But whatever. But I love that idea that there's still some of the old villains out there.
Yeah, that sounds like fun. I can't wait for that. That'll be interesting. And although I'm surprised we're getting that many tributes in a row, but whatever, it's cool. Gogo 5 should be interesting. I wonder what kind of grand power those guys will have. The Ginger Man, I can't wait to see Basco summon these cool extra heroes and see their keys. Who else is there?
Baseball Man.
Those movie pictures.
Baseball Man is the shit.
He's my homeboy.
He is. He's
He's my home run boy. So low, I like choke myself on my tongue. That sounded gross. I'll just stop now.
Yay. Please do.
I like Fate Gokaio.
Yeah, it looks pretty cool.
Alright, so now I think it's time for...
Super Hero Time! Gokaija! Hajimaru-zo! Kamen Rider! Balls!
I'm never ready when it's time to do that.
It's okay.
I know. So, what number is this? 19?
18? 19, maybe? I don't
remember.
19. 19? Yeah. We're on 19. Last time, we got Gojujin, who's giant epic Barney. Buto Tier is regular sized epic Barney. Gojujin's giant epic Barney. And.
Glad we got a summary of what happened last time.
So we got it starts off with Navi connecting Gokai Silver to the chest of keys. So now all he has to do is think and key appears in his belt buckle. And we actually see Kiba Ranger disappear from the chest and go into his belt. It's pretty nifty. And then they're like,
thread of rainbow justice.
They're like, let's eat.
And lasers.
Like,
I got this.
And Don's all sad. He's like, no, I'm the cook. I'm a little baby, little bitch. And then, meanwhile, the bad guys are like, hey, I got a monster with a fish skeleton on his arm, because that's cool. He's going to go take everyone's bones out. I don't know why this is a good idea, but it is. And apparently, he can, like, use something. I don't know what he has. He just fishing rods you with magic and steals your skeleton, which makes you tired. And you go to sleep. I don't know. You get tired and lazy if you have no skeleton.
They become Kevin.
Like, I think they were trying to go, like, you lose your backbone or something. I don't really know. Like, it doesn't even make sense for that either.
And then you lose your bones later if you... I don't know.
But
I don't know. It doesn't make sense. It's just Sentai, so it doesn't.
So, in any case, everyone's all, like, loving on Guy because he cooks so good. And he trains so good, and they're all, him and Doc are off grocery shopping, and they run into Zangak, and they're like, hey, we need to transform now, okay? So they get out their keys and go off.
Gokaija!
Hello? I'm sorry, I think there was a motorbike in the background and I heard a anybody else hear that?
It's not my fault the toy sounds that way. So they fight, Guy's all cool, Doc sucks, he actually gets picked up and thrown off a building. And the other four come in and they're like, hey, let's use Go-Onger. And they're like, okay. So these five race off and Guy's like, I could use Go on Silver because he's the Silver. And he's like, that was a girl. I don't know that matters to him. He's like, I can use Go on Gold. He's all cool. He's like, I don't know who to pick. Ah! Goes into a dream sequence where he's like, I could use both of you guys. And they merge together and make him one key so that he's able to, like, use that. And then it's all... And literally the entire battle stops to stare at him because
blink, blink.
Because he is the double of Sentai. He is half Go on Gold, half Go on Silver. And Aim to Family claps. Very softly. Almost Brian-like. With her tiny hands.
Connie's small hands. I thought about that the other day. He doesn't like Connie's and they have small hands. I'm like, that's Brian.
And so he has two rocket daggers and just pwns everyone. But then Doc sucks ass. So red, blue, yellow, and pink get their skeletons stolen. The guy's like, hup, see you later, bitches, and runs away. And I don't know. Doc's feeling sorry for himself. And he's like, you go fight. I suck. And he's like, okay.
And Navi,
And Nobby's like, stop whining, you little bastard. He thinks you're cool. God, you such a little woman. And so we see a flashback to, like, he finds Doggins' cookbook. He's like, oh, he's so cool. He thinks it so thoroughly. And he hugs Nobby real tight. And you see Doc hugging Nobby real tight. And Nobby can't breathe. And so he runs off after Guy. And he's like, I have an idea. And then he's like, hey, you know how you fuse those two keys into one? And he's like, yeah. Take all 15 of your keys. Do that. He's like, what? He's like, yeah. It can't be much harder to fuse 15 into one than there is two. And he's like, I don't think it works that way. That's kind of dumb sounding. He's like, just do it. He's like, fine. So he goes into a dream sequence after all 15 keys spurt out of his belt and, like, land in his hand in a pile. And kind of like after we go on a buying spree, it's what we look like. It's a giant pile of keys. Like, yay! So he sees all the six strangers and is like, give me your power! And they're like, no. And so meanwhile, Doc's sitting there trying to fight and he's all, fire your mouth! So now he's green too. I don't know what happened with that thing the first time, but he's green too and he's fighting all Bio-Manny. Meanwhile, he's still having a dream sequence over here and they're all like slowly walking and he's like, what do I do? They look up at the sky like, hey.
Hey.
And then while that's going on, Doc's all,
cheat codes.
Now he's green flash, also doesn't fuck your mother. And he gets out like these prism square boxing gloves. I don't know how that helps, but he starts fighting the monster. But then he gets pwned. So then Guy ends up with all 15 keys merging into one. And it's like that anchor key, and he shoves it into the bottom of his phone. Make sure I get this in the correct. Well, this will work better when I have an actual anchor key instead of trying to use Gokai Red to shove in there.
Spoilers! Now the illusion is ruined.
We don't cheat at this. So, like, the anchor shoots down from the sky, armor wraps around him, the little top anchor part of his helmet becomes a visor over his sunglasses, and his spear turns into anchor mode, and he's all like, yeah, epic badass, I'm gold mode. And the guy's like, make up your mind, are you silver or gold, you bastard? And he pwns him epically, and
he's
crystal then,
version.
Yep, and then he's like, "Fight a wave!"
Ow!
And he like spins his anchor spear thing, and all the faces of the 15 are there with their little logos, and it's all cool. And then they like, I think something was like the gun ones shoot out, and then they shoot. The sword ones? I don't know. All I know is that some six appear, they shoot other ones, and then they slash him, and Gokai Silver slashes him, and then he blows up. The monster, not Gokai Silver. The monster blows up. Oily's all like, I lost again! Damn it! I suck at life! And like, oh, yup. And then the other bad guys are like, God damn it. He makes us look so bad. Everyone has their backbones back, and they're like, yay, we're cool! And the monster grows big. They summon Gokai-O and Goju-Rex. And they start poning him. And then he's all like, hey, let's do Goju-Jin. Derp. And he's like, Goju-Jin. Because I don't feel like pushing the button. And, I mean, I could push the button, but I don't feel like it. And so he's like, I got this, guys. And he uses his, like, triple drill attack to destroy the monster. And then they're back on the ship, and they're reading the paper, and they're like, hey, look, guy's been added to our wanted poster. And like, oh, you've got a bounty now, too. Yay. How much is it? Oh, it's 100,000 of their currency. Looks over at where Don's is. He's only worth 5,000. Lols. Then got Doc's all mad. He's like, no food for you. I am food Nazi. Like, why is Dawson in the program? And then it ends.
Program? I'm not a pilgrim.
But this episode was pretty cool. We got an explanation of how their belt works. The anchor key was cool. The go-on wings combined key was weird. But it was fun seeing all the sticks together, and it was a cool finisher for gold mode.
Yeah, that was pretty fun seeing them all like do that little slashy attack thing.
And it was fun seeing guys like epic, like when he fights cool and
It's cool seeing Guy do stuff.
That's someone else.
Guy doing stuff.
He needs his key.
So anyway, I really enjoyed the episode. Like, yeah, things are kind of moving pretty quick for him. I mean, like, he premiered, then he got his Megazord, and now he's got his cool little power thing. But, I mean, it was fun. We got to see all the cool suits, and the whole double go on gold, go on silver thing was pretty cool. Like, it looks kind of silly.
I heard they had to get a transvestite stunt actor to play in that suit, just to make it more realistic.
I like how they call it the 2-in-1 or whatever. Like,
yeah, his like little roll call thing reminded me so much of Double. It was ridiculous. It's like the 2-in-1 Goanja. Like, huh? You're funny.
I don't really understand what is Guy's power to talk to the dead? Is he Emily Osment's brother who disappeared after he made that movie? Like, what is his deal? Like, he just closes his eyes and talks to their suit actors, and then he gets powers.
Huh. Basically, he can make anything he wants come true or something. He has the epic power of imagination.
Imagineer that.
He's from Imagination Land.
He became friends with Figment. And
I thought that was weird, but I definitely hope he goes individual go on wings at some point. At least silver. I already know what gold looks like. I don't need to see it. Deed? Where?
But gold's epic kick hopper.
And Yumi Sugimoto's the hottest thing ever. Derpa.
Mystic Knight, derp, derp, derp.
Hey, no, Brian. VZ17 has claimed Yumi Sugimoto, so you cannot.
I don't give a fuck.
Like I said in our discussion, it reminded me of the episode with Jason and Rocky when he came in Zio. Except I feel like nothing was resolved other than Don plans their meals better.
Yeah.
Like, doesn't Don forget he fixes everything? Guy's just like, hey, look, I make good food and I'm happy guy. Yep, munch. I totally agree.
Well, it's not Don's fault that he sucks so hard at life. Like, it's not his fault that Guy can fight and he can't. Like, he needs to
get
better.
Don has epically funny fighting sequences. I mean, who else runs out with, like, oh god, with a bush in your belt? That sounded wrong. And then I said it anyway.
To me, more of that too.
Okay.
And am I like the only one that doesn't hate Gold Mode with like the hate of a thousand suns?
I like Gold Mode.
I like Gold Mode.
Yeah, so do I. Everyone's like, God, it's the ugliest thing ever. I hate this. Fuck him. Like, it's not that bad. I mean, it's not like...
I mean, the helmet placement bothers me a little bit on some of them. But, I mean, that's just a minor nitpick. I like the way it looks overall.
Yeah, like, I like it. Everyone else hates it. I'm like, it's cool. Shut up.
Well, it makes sense that the top three on his chest are Dragon Ranger, Aberrate Killer, and Time Fire.
Yeah, because those are the dead guys. And they gave him his powers and shit. Mm-hmm. Sure, that's about it for that, I think. Anything else?
I don't think so. I guess moving along to O's.
Okay, let's do O's now. Okay. So we start, and we're resolving the cliffhanger from the last episode in under 10 seconds, because Ankh just goes right back to Shingles. And so they all go back to the restaurant, because Ankh's hurt, and he needs to be tended to. And then after that, the eviction communist people send the new rules that basically say they can't move or breathe, and Ankh and Edgy get evicted for their hairstyles. I don't know. They just don't like them down there. So they track down the yummy to the house of the new landlord guy that's a member of the Brat Pack. And they go Tataba, and they go in there, and they're confronted by the Popos, and then Goto shows up and saves them, and they run off, and they're like, we have to wait for the bird to come back for its food or something like that. I really wasn't paying attention to that part. They're like, we just gotta wait. And then Broto summons a bunch of Candroids, and Edgy and Ankh go off, and they have a bromantic conversation about how, like, how much they've changed since the beginning. He's like, yeah, remember when he used to threaten me? Now I threaten you. Man, we're close. And then he's like, I can take that body from you at any time. He's like, no, you can't. And then he tries to choke Hina, and then she's like, it's okay, you can just choke me. I'm into that sort of thing. And then
she honestly didn't care. I'm like, what is your problem?
And she's like, Ankh. And then she just lets go. I'm like, whatever. And then he stops, and then they all go celebrate Ankh's birthday because restaurant chick got evicted. I personally think the restaurant should just move there to that waterfront in that little makeshift shop. It was really a strange scene. I was kind of creeped out by the whole thing. The next day, the yummy finally comes out, and they all go to fight it, and Goto leaves a note for Sachinaka and says, look, I'll pay you 5% if you just effing show up. Stop with these ridiculous costumes, seriously. So Edgy goes to Hasuba, and Birth shows up, and they start fighting the yummy, and Sachinaka finally shows up and shows us some support, and she's like, yo, you only get one canister for 5%, I'm sorry. And then Edgy uses this new mysterious yellow combo. I don't think I've ever seen this before. I hope the figure art comes out, because it looks pretty cool. And he finishes off the yummy. And and then we cut back to the lady who's like was in charge of everything, and after the yummy's dead, she like totally forgets everything and she blames her husband for all the TVs, and she's like, take it back right now. I'm pretty sure that's the origin of arguments and marriages is yummies. I discovered that from this episode. So then they're all back at the restaurant, and Hina tries to give Ankh a gift, and he's like, I don't want it. And then he's like, okay. And then he takes it and runs up to his room. And he's all right, well, what's this? This is going to be awesome. And then little Ankhlet's sitting there behind him. And he's like, hey, I'm Ankhlet. And then he does absorb Ankh. And then Edgy shows up and he's like, Optimus! Ankh! And then it ends. And there's two wings and they're like, hey, look, Edgy only has 3 medals left. And then it ends. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay, I guess I'll get my thoughts first. Well, yeah, and then... And it'll just stop like Kevin did. Anyway, so it was a pretty kind of boring episode for me. Like, and it was really strange. Like, I felt like stuff happened, but it didn't. Like, it's that traditional, it began with that traditional O's thing where we have a cliffhanger and then they resolve it within 4 seconds, like it was no big deal. And just that whole drama with Hina and Ankh and Edgy was kind of strange. Like, it was a series of strange scenes. I guess they were trying to show that they're somewhat friends now. But it just came off kind of strange to me. Mm-hmm. There was some funny scenes, like when Restaurant Chick beat up the cops. And the end with Ankhlet absorbing them was interesting. I still don't like Ankhlet. But it hopefully will create for a better episode next week. Like, I'm getting, not the vibe, but I was kind of hoping that when they merge, it kind of creates like the best of two personalities and he kind of becomes the antagonist and Ankh's... Like, kind of what I always thought would happen since the beginning is that they become friends and then they're forced to fight at the end.
Yeah.
And it's just kind of a struggle for control. Okay.
Yeah.
Someone else's turn. Don't just say yeah.
Go ahead, Kevin.
I liked this episode. I did. I enjoyed... that lady was crazy. and we had epic Candroid action. And that was cool. And, and then we also, who else was in it? There was a lot of fun things about it. There was Big Bird versus Little Bird. And there was Ankhlet. And he was like, I take you hand now, yup. And then the hand went away. And it was on him. And then he got a wing.
I want to see what Shingles thinks when he wakes up in that lost clothes. Why am I wearing tight red pants? Is this MMPR?
But yeah, that was all good in the hood, and what else was there? I don't know. It was a fun episode. I enjoyed it. I want to see Edgy get hit in the face with medals next week. So
that was hilarious. Seeing Shingle as a support, just throws the medals at him haphazardly, and Edgy's like, ah, ah. It's like, this is gonna be great.
So. I enjoyed the episode. I mean, I hated the yummy so much.
Like, oh, God, the little
time,
chicken dance that came on when
that
it was on?
Every buck was on the screen, they did that noise in the background, and I wanted to strangle something. I was honestly fed up. Yeah.
Am I right?
And what else is going on? I don't know. Like, I mean, the whole thing at the end with Little Bird and Big Bird, It was really cool. Like, I mean, I'm upset because Ankh got his ass handed to him. But, I mean, yeah. at the same time, it was kind of necessary for plot progression and stuff. So, I mean, I understand.
It just seems weird that with all the foreshadowing, but, like, the build-up that Ankh just, like, shanks Ankh in his room, basically. It's like the conclusion of a movie. Instead of having an epic battle, the villain just stabs the hero in his room, and then it ends. Like, wait, let's just get this shit done now.
Let's just do this now. But, like, what else? I don't know. I'm
thinking. The concept of Onklet kind of growing up is kind of neat. I still don't like the whole overall idea they went for with the two Onks, but it's kind of neat that he's kind of growing into Onk.
Yeah, like, I mean, I do like that. I'm glad he didn't stay a meat brain.
It's kind of like he cloned him, basically.
Yeah.
It's like a clone. If you ever wonder what Onk liked when he was little, he liked lollipops.
And the lolly turned into ice cream. But, like, I mean, I like that part. I like Onk's whole progression and stuff. Like, I mean, just the overall plot of the guy and then being totally pwned by his wife and that whole, command the city, bro. I didn't like that. That didn't jive with me at all.
Yeah, I was thinking that, like, those stories aren't as good as the double ones were.
But I mean, as far as what happened for the story, I like all those bits. And
they need to get on with this shit. They only got 9 episodes left.
Goto was awesome. His birth yet again.
Oh, I know. It's awesome.
And the whole Kandroid action was pretty neato, too. So
they need to get going with this damn purple metal shit. This is ridiculous.
Like, I liked the fights, and I liked Goto and the whole Ankh thing and stuff. I just didn't like the overall plot of the episode arc.
Yeah. The pacing just felt kind of strange in this episode to me.
It was really off and on.
Yeah, like, because I'm used to having certain episodes, in particular in the beginning of Rider series, where it's like 20 minutes of talking and 5 minutes of action. But this one, like, the battles were so short, and it just felt kind of weird. Like, it felt like a weird edit. I don't know why Nickelodeon cut down I Party with Onks.
And then they had that little beach, whatever.
Like,
oh,
that whole thing was, like, weird. I'm like, where did Edgy get this ego all of a sudden?
Yeah, that was
like,
the purple metals, I
kicks your butt. And then they're like, we're going to have a party out here. And I'm like, what?
Okay, here's a question. Okay, the sub that's translated is, I want to stay with my brother a little bit longer. Is that supposed to mean I want Ankh to stay there a little bit longer? Okay.
I think TV Nihon put up something like this because they fixed those episodes. Like, Hina was speaking in a context to where there was no subject.
Uh-huh. Sounds like Japanese.
So people assumed she was talking about herself.
Uh-huh.
But she was talking about Ankh.
Okay. So she wants Ankh to stay with her brother a little bit longer.
So they keep translating it as, I want to stay with my brother. My brother longer, when it's supposed to be, I want Ankh to stay with my brother a little longer.
Yeah, okay, that makes sense. I was like, if she wants her brother to stay around longer, why is she keeping Ankh in there?
Yeah, I know. That was the first thing that crossed my mind.
I've been pondering that for 4 weeks.
I read that too, and then the TV Nihon peeps put up something like that, because they translated it like that too.
Yeah,
and then someone was like, I don't think it's supposed to be like that. And they're like, yeah, it's not. And then they fixed it.
Thank God.
And then it ends. Oh.
And then it ends. But it'll be interesting to see what happens from here. Cool to see Shingles back and wanting to help out.
Yeah, like kind of take Ankh's role. Which is...
I am Shingles.
I was thinking, I think it'd be kind of neat now that Ankh's complete, since he can now make a human form, if instead of becoming Onklet, he became what Ankh used to look like, except being evil now.
Yeah.
That'd be interesting.
Evil Shingles.
Yeah.
That'd be fun.
I don't know. I just want them to get this resolved. Like, they've been dragging their
asses. I am Little Bird, you fuck. Oh. I think it should be like a combination. Like, it should be like the little kid with the Ankh hair. That'd be hilarious.
That would be hilarious. Or like a teenager. Like halfway between. Oh, that'd be good.
I hate how the end of the episode was like, oh, all those medals are gone. Lol.
Bye. See you next
week. I think they're trolling us.
I'm like, well, you see, they were in the metal case, and the only thing that Lefty Ankh got was the 3 red medals.
Oh, yeah. I didn't think about that. They just got shenaniganed. That's a clear case of shenaniganery.
So I'm like, I didn't see Lefty Ankh, Little Bird, absorb the metal case.
Not to mention the fact in the preview you see Shingles throwing him some medals, and he's already in Taotaba. Yep, clear case of shenaniganery.
Like,
right here
I
in the literature.
The only shenaniganery that's like direct is the fact that Ankh had 2 Takas and a Kujaku, right?
Uh-huh. Yeah.
And all three of those went to Lefty Onk. Yet in the next episode, we have Tatlebot.
He just went out and got a candy toy set. That's what happened. Maybe what happened was Onk just dropped the metal holder out the window when he like got absorbed. So that just means Edgy's not holding him. So in order for the official screen to count it, Edgy has to be holding him.
Okay.
That's my theory. Okay, get it.
Someone said that like the Toei site says Onk left a Taka core with Hina.
That could make sense. Maybe he just put it in a cake somewhere.
But that would definitely mean that Onk had 10 medals.
Yeah, but I definitely saw... No, he only had 3 medals. How did he...
Well, I mean, he could have gave one to Hina a long time ago.
Off screen.
I was like, if shit happens to me, you hold that fucking thing close.
That's exactly what
he had.
Onk's
2 head. Takas and a Kujaku.
Well, exactly. That's my point. He would have had to have 10 medals because the 10th medal is usually a head medal.
I hope we don't have to keep track of this shit with switches.
Well, maybe...
Hold on to your shit.
Maybe it's the medals that came that he found in that movie core whore.
Alternate universe Edgy comes back and says, here's some medals, and gives him medals.
That's exactly what happened.
So he has all of the medals. One each of all of the medals that the Greeds don't have, so now there's an extra set of medals. And I'm kidding. Well, let's just move on.
Okay, are we ready to drop off one of these O's and just talk about two of them?
Yes.
Okay. So it's time for retrospective Ranger Rambles. It's not a gay. Lasers!
Later!
Oh my god, lasers.
Later.
Okay, so we're talking about everyone's widespread favorite season, Power Rangers Operation Overdrive. They're the number one team! Also, the theme song was sung by Ice Cube, just so you know. I don't have official confirmation of that,
yeah.
But I'm pretty sure. It was in Are We There Yet? Anyway, so...
Yeah, smack that fucker in the face.
Okay. So after Explorer Adventurer Andrew Hartford, are we ready?
Yeah,
that's a name, right? That's the guy. Yeah, is it? Okay. Anyway, so Explorer Adventurer Andrew Hartford finds the Corona Aurora. I should know that's where I live. He jumps over one step and he finds the Corona Aurora, awakening Moltor and Flurious, brothers who went after the Corona Aurora at one point, and they were both cursed by the Sentinel Knight and exiled and disfigured and such. So he needs to recruit a team of Power Rangers to find the jewels and stop Moltor and Flurious. So he recruits Dax, a stuntman who plays a stuntman who plays a stuntman. Wrap your head around that. And Ronnie, a race car driver, Rose, a know-it-all, Will, a douchebag, and then he is supposed to take the role of Red Ranger himself, but he gets grabbed by some lava lizard, so his son Mac takes over as Red Ranger, and he reluctantly lets him. So they start the quest for the jewels. Not long after, they get some more competition from Camdor and Miratrix. The first jewel is found in a smelly pirate's beard. Pearl, he's also a ghost. I don't know how this works. Later, they run into a henchman of Moltor's, who's named Tizon, who apparently used to be a Mercurian, but got turned into a lizard. After they recruit him to his side, they get the second jewel, and Tizon is freed from his curse, and he leaves and comes back 4 minutes later to take over as the Mercury Ranger. But of course, he brings new dangers with him as well in the form of the Fear Cats or the Achu, Sneezers from Bokenger. And so then they find the third jewel, but because Will is a complete douchebag, he loses it. And then after that, we get Once a Ranger, which is awesome, and the Sentinel Knight gets his form back because Stan Lee shows up and he's like, Excelsior! And he hands him the sword, and then he becomes the Sentinel Knight. That's what happens.
I'm beating a dude in the face with a fan.
Okay. So then we find out based on a glitch that Mac is a robot and he's only really been alive 2 years and he's really pissed about it. And he starts calling his dad Mr. Hartford and he starts dressing like a transvestite. And so because of this, he can use Rose's new technology to form the Red Sentinel Ranger, Red Battleized Ranger. And they get a fourth jewel at some point. For whatever reason, I don't remember how they got it, but I remember Ronnie pickpocketed it out of Camdor's pocket. That's what happened. Then we get to in the final battles. The Fear Cats are destroyed by Tizon and the Rangers after they try to trick Tizon, and they go all apeshit. Camdor is destroyed by Will because that's how it happened in Bokenger. Miratrix is totally betrayed and turns into an owl, and I don't really know what happened there. After a struggle for the Dragon Key, Matt goes to get the crown from Moltor, and risks his life because he is a robot. And the Rangers pull him back, even though he's like, dude, I can totes grab the crown. It's right there. They're like, no! And they pull him out. It was kind of stupid. So then Moltar defeated goes to Florius, and Florius kills him because he is a cold-blooded bastard. It's pretty awesome.
Ha! You didn't get my word, Brian.
Yep. Playing games during the podcast. Anyway, it's almost done. So then Florius attacks the Ranger's house, gets all the crown and the jewels. Well, they get the fifth jewel from the yummy living in Andrew's house, just so you know. And so Florius has the crown and all its jewels, and apparently the power of the great crown is to turn you into Gaja, which is what all villains are in PR now because of their voices. So they fight Florius, Gaja, and he destroys the Zords and beats the Rangers, but Mac manages to sacrifice himself to defeat him. But in the end, with the powers of the Corona Aurora, Mac is brought back to life, but this time as a real boy. And the Rangers all go off in their separate ways, and they walk through the sun together, and then it ends. Yay. And that's Overdrive.
How do you walk through the sun?
I don't know.
Operation Overdrive is the number one team. Power Rangers.
Rangers together. I think they both came up with that. Power Rangers and the Rangers together. Stop with the fireworks. We are filming.
Overdrive forever.
Oh, God. They said Power Rangers forever a lot in this season. All right. So let's start with story.
Okay, so I really... It didn't go no. I really didn't go no.
I really didn't think I was gonna say the sentence like this.
Like, I mean, as far as the story, like, I like what they did different than Bokenger. Like, all of the relics and artifacts that they found all pointed to something direct. Whereas in Bokenger, there's like, oh, here's another precious, toss it in the vault. I'm like, okay, why are we doing this? I still don't understand. I mean, this one, they all were tracking relic to relic. To find the jewels, and I did enjoy that. It felt like all these random things all had a purpose.
Like, I have to give them credit, and give them props for having a really original story. There was very few episodes that you could tell were lifted from Bokenger, and even then, they weren't really lifted at all. Mm-hmm. But you could just tell by the general outline. But they really did a great job of totally rearranging the footage and connecting all the precious to the mystery of the Corona Aurora, and basically making a total different story, which was neat.
They did a good job of confusing the hell out of me when I watched Bokenger, because I sat there and I'm like, oh, look, here's this fire guy. We're about to get Boken Silver. No.
No, I did that too. I was like, hey, look, it's Tizon. And they're like, I'm a
guy.
I'm a guy doing stuff, and I'm not the Six Ranger.
That plot was like he needed a jewel to go.
Oh, yeah, he couldn't go back. He was from Atlantis, or he was from a water tribe. I don't remember if it was Atlantis, but he couldn't go touch the water because he was poisoned.
He was a lizard.
He was different, so he got discriminated against.
I see.
But, and I mean, like, I felt that they had a good storyline to start off with, and it just kind of didn't go as well as it could have.
Yeah, like, it feels like there's so much disconnect with everything.
The thing for me was, sorry to interrupt you, but the story, I felt there was really no problems with the story. It was just the way it was delivered by the acting and everything. Is it, you just felt disconnected, but if everything was delivered better, it would have came off better.
Like the idea of the treasure hunting thing, like I always enjoyed, or like, you know, they had that story where we have to, like, I'm making you a new weapon, but you have to go get the Fireheart scale to make it work right. Which,
that was a cool nod.
Yeah.
On one hand, doesn't make any sense at all to me whatsoever, but on the other, I'm like, oh, that's cool. We're referencing Mystic Force.
But, yeah, I like that. That was fun.
That was fun.
But, like, this season did reference old school PR. Not old school, I mean Mystic. I didn't mean old school.
That is the old school of the old school.
But, like, referencing Mystic Force, and then in Once a Ranger, they did a lot of throwbacks, like Dino Thunder and everything like that, so. Like, that was cool.
They had Plan Xander.
That's something I miss from Samurai.
And we had Kira and Tori, and they were hot, and Adam was hot.
Adam was the hottest one there. I don't know what you're talking about.
One other thing, I feel like I have more than one example, but the only one I can think of right now is I love the fact that they kind of made the universe self-aware of what the PR universe is like when, like, Rose mentioned she had a class of ancient universal legends. And I feel like there's several other, like, lines of dialogue that just referred to the fact that the world kind of knows about that, like, larger-than-life stuff, if you know what I mean. And I thought that was a nice touch. Just acknowledge that. And I liked the fame aspect, too, when they're on the news.
Yeah, that was cool. Right. Like, these people weren't, like, trying to hide their identity or anything like that.
Also, having Rose with that stuff gave her a reason to know things as opposed to just knowing them.
Right.
Why did Brian get that?
Let me translate, Kevin. Like, he just meant, like, there was a reason for her to know everything she knew because she was smart and taught history classes and stuff.
Oh, okay.
As opposed to just being like, well, I magically happen to have all this information in my brain for no fucking reason.
Well, Billy knew all that because he had glasses. I thought that was explained.
Oh.
And he had overalls.
That episode. So, yeah, I missed that episode.
He had overalls.
Yeah.
Good times. But yeah, I enjoyed what they changed from Bokinger a lot. And I appreciated the fact that they took things in a different route and they had their own fairly independent story going on. It's just the story, it was just presented bad.
Yeah, like, it just didn't have that emotional impact. And like, the last half, I have to say, I enjoyed the last bit after Once a Ranger, I actually enjoyed, but it wasn't well delivered. Like, if it would have been delivered with a better cast, maybe, and just in a different way, what it might have been better, because the story is actually pretty good.
Yeah.
And really original.
Like, I agree. I think if they just would have got a better cast and tweaked the writing a little bit,
didn't have a douchebag in there,
then you would have had a pretty good season. I think it just suffers from, well, obviously the 32 episodes is a suffering for pretty much any season at this
point. Like, and with the exception of nitpicks of that, they always did a pretty good job of dealing with that.
And like I said, that's just the cast presenting things in a more entertaining manner, I guess.
Yeah. It felt totally different from Bokinger, which was good.
Yeah.
All right. Well, so team-ups now. So we'll talk about the last team-up we'll ever talk about. Yep. At least, unless if they have one in Samurai.
Once a Ranger.
Always a Ranger.
Yeah.
No one gets inside. Oh,
okay. So stay Skull.
Once a Ranger, so stay Skull. That's the deluxe director's cut.
So stay Skull.
I really love Once a Ranger.
I do too. Like, I mean, there's some things that bother me because I'm a bit of a timeline whore, and I don't see how Thrax is even possibility of being existing, like, real.
Damn it, Brian.
The explanation I came up with was really funny. What was it? Damn it. I had it. Remember, because at first I said, he ages like a dog, derp, and then I had a really funny explanation.
He ages like a dog, and it was a reference to the kid in Bokinger.
Oh, yeah, it was a reference to the episode in Bokinger where Edgy and Akashi raised this kid that was based off this Japanese folklore of a kid named Momo, and he went from a baby to an adult in the whole episode. That, the whole thing was referenced to that. That's what happened to Thrax. Okay. Silence. I can hear the crickets and the fireworks killing them.
I know a lot of people are probably upset at the people that they brought back because they're like, what about more MMPR people? Raw, MMPR.
What about Saban? I like to lick Saban's ass. Hate those people.
But I mean, like, okay, you brought back Adam. I think someone in the board was talking about Zach or something. But
Adam's shit.
Like, I don't know why you'd bring back Zach over Adam because
he's missing a finger.
Because Zach's like, I want more money! And they're like, you're fired. And then they brought Adam in, and he had a job for 5 years.
But,
just saying.
I like the fact that they brought back Adam as their, like, their retro ranger, just because Johnny Young Bosch is the shit.
He really
I love
is.
That guy.
And Adam was better because he played Johnny Young Bosch instead of Adam.
Yes. And, I mean, then you brought in some really cool people from the various Disney series. I mean, you have Tori, which is hot. And Bridge, which is, like, the best comedic character.
Which is hot.
He's hot. He's buttery. He's very, very buttery. And, I mean, Kira, again, hot. And probably one of the better characters out of Dino Thunder, in my opinion.
Yeah.
And Xander.
Plan Xander.
Plan Xander in anything, ever. But, I just thought it was an all-around, like, creative, fun team.
Like, a lot of people say you couldn't find a more perfect one. which is arguable, but I can't think of many more people I would really want back that much unless I just rearrange some people from other seasons, because I don't want to see anybody from Wild Force. Wes and Eric, I feel like, have come back enough times in the recent time that back when we saw it.
Yeah.
Like there's nobody really else I wanted to see that bad. And Tommy had just come back to be Doo-Doo Dino Thunder, so it'd be overkill if he came back. Or Trent Tommy.
Yeah.
Like, I thought they're all good choices.
Yeah, I mean, I don't think of anyone in the past seasons that I would want to come back, particularly because we just had Forever Red and seen a lot of them.
Yeah.
And like, I can't think of any of the other characters that I would have preferred them to bring back. I mean, anyone from Ninja Storm is a win in my book, really.
Like, I tend to enjoy the cast from the last seasons better anyway, so.
Yeah. And I mean, the only person I'd rather see out of Dino Thunder is maybe Trent, just because I kind of like Trent, and the Aubrey Killer suit is awesome.
It would have been kind of cool if they would have brought back either Doggy, or not Doggy, I was trying to work on a John Tui reference, it didn't work. Bring back Solaris, since we didn't have a Mystic Force team up,
yeah.
And do kind of like Volkanger versus Super Sentai, and just bring two people back from Magi to compensate, and then we get to see John Tui again,
yeah.
And then Taizan would have someone to fight with. So we didn't have to fight with the horrible
team. Yeah, I would have liked them to bring back one more person, because, I mean, the Overdrive is a team of six, and they brought in a team of five. I'm like, okay.
Yeah.
Where's our another person? Like, bring back, like you said, bring back John Tui's Daggeron.
Yeah, that would have been perfect. Or even Shadow, just because they're both John Tui.
Yeah.
Bring them both back. I mean, he could do both parts.
Exactly.
John Tui for Gosei Knight.
But I thought Once Ranger was handled fantastically outside of the whole really shitty Alpha. And
yeah, I think it was
Thrax. Other than that, I loved it.
I think it was Keeper's Post that said, did you honestly believe they would get his old voice back? So it really didn't bother me
It didn't bother me that much, except for all I could hear was Cosmo. It's not the same person. I thought it was. I checked. It's not. But all I can hear out of that voice is Cosmo, and then the fact that he's the same height as Adam, I'm like, what are you doing? Adam just
He's Asian. We've been over this.
Racist.
But it was nice that they brought him back. And
yeah,
clearly he got annoyed as fuck with the Lost Galaxy cast and moved back to Earth.
He left Mirinoi. And he probably came back with Bulk.
Probably.
I liked
that he's like, welcome to Angel Grove. This is a warehouse, stop. That's what they did for all of Overdrive, though. They're like, oh, this is Japan. No, that's New Zealand. Stop.
This is Japan. But, no, it's New Zealand. This is a warehouse in Angel Grove. No, it's New Zealand.
But I thought it was really funny.
Oh yeah, you're right.
Okay, it's over. No, I'm kidding. This the lightning bolt symbol on the crate looked really bad.
Oh, it was terrible.
It was hilarious.
It was drawn by a 6-year-old.
We painted this ourselves when we were teenagers. And Adam clapped.
I'm gonna go play with a leaf.
I feel like there's a few other things I was gonna say. Oh, just quickly touching back on Overdrive's story. They did do a good job, as much as they could, make them seem like they were going to all those locations.
Yeah.
And it did feel much more like a world adventure than Volkanger did.
Yeah, I mean, I was making fun of it, but they didn't really do too bad of a job at it at all.
Yeah.
Considering I'm pretty sure they stayed in New Zealand the entire time, so.
But just final things I know.
I am New Zealand.
Once a Ranger, I thought it was neat that they kind of gave you a chance to see the Rangers in a bunch of different fight scenes. Like, you got the cool introduction reveal, and then you got civilian fights, which was cool. And then just the final fight, and I touched on that thing about Adam's music. I don't care that they had the MMPR theme. Didn't have the MMPR theme. I liked Adam's music better.
Music talk.
It's like he had his, oh, well.
We have a section for this.
You've been here. You've been here all the whole time. You should know how this works, Dawson. You need to follow the rules.
I didn't think that would fit into it, though.
Shut up, you.
Anyway. Yeah, that's about it. And they did a pretty decent job of working in Sentinel Knight's story into that, because they kind of had to for time.
Yeah.
Damn Chip.
Chip was awesome, and Sentinel Knight was the best.
That's probably how they got away with only putting in Xander. So they're like, well, we got Chip in as Sentinel Knight, so...
That's true.
We already have Chip, so he's a reference. Okay.
That's the writer's room for you.
Yep.
I'm touching it.
But, yeah, I liked it. It was fun.
Power Rangers Overdrive is the number one team.
I like that we kind of got little epilogues at the end, like updates of what they're all doing now, too.
Yeah, that was cool.
Xander's like, yeah, I'm still at the Rockporium. Bridge is like, in the future.
In the future, we're all past Rangers, except for me. I will be a Ranger.
In the future.
In the future.
Then there's
the
a dog.
Ranger,
cut to Adam.
Then Xander like looks at him. He's like, and then I'll be the Blue Ranger. And then Tori looks at him. It's like, but you're wearing red. Yeah, you see. Birdie retired and moved to Miami, and then Kruger got promoted, then Sky got promoted, then I got promoted, so now I'm Red Ranger.
Red Ranger, Red Ranger. Mike just pops out of a barrel and then leaves.
Go fuck yourself.
Oh, Rick Medina, you ass.
Yeah. I enjoyed it.
Yeah.
Once a ranger, always a ranger.
I like that foreshadowing that Spencer had in the episode right before it. When Will quit. He's like, I'm a douche, I should quit. I'm like, you should.
I'm a douche, I should quit. Yes, you should. You should.
I still wish that the Overdrive Rangers would have stayed gone and the Once Ranger team just took over.
That would have been too good.
Too good. Too good for my shirt.
Yes.
Okay, here we go.
Alright, so characters.
Who's first on the Wikipedia? I bet it's Mac.
Mac.
Shocker.
Obviously.
iMac. You know what? I don't need your tude.
Mac's a homo.
I kind of liked Mac.
Okay, here's the thing with Mac. Like,
he's still a homo.
He got on my nerves when he was a total bitch to Hartford. But, I mean, I understand. I would probably
but he's a homo?
Too.
Yeah.
Shh.
But, but he was probably my favorite of the six.
Homos? Oh.
Like...
Why
like,
is he
okay.
a homo?
Like I said...
because I said so.
Okay.
I used to be annoyed by him, like, the first time I watched it. But he's probably... I don't want to say my favorite character of all the series, but like you said, my favorite ranger. I thought...
Favorite homo?
The actor did a really good job. You know what? Like, I like the fact that in the beginning he played that whole, like, excited, like, wanting to go on adventures thing well. And then when he was Red Ranger, despite being a rookie, I thought he was a fairly good leader. And then
like I said in our discussion, it helped that they were all rookies. Uh-huh. So his red rookiness didn't really show up too much because they were all the same.
Yeah, but it's just like, I don't know what it was, but just like sometimes certain episodes, I just thought he did a good job of leading compared to others. I don't know why. Like he just seemed to keep a level head. And then when he did the robot thing, I thought the actor did it like great. Like you said, he was kind of a bitch to him, but I felt they did it the perfect amount of time. Like it was not to the last episode that he kind of like forgave him, and I thought it was really good the way he kind of struggled with that. Like that would be really traumatic to find out you weren't a real person and you were 2 years old. Like it was such a great plot twist, and they had some really until the like what got right down to it, but they had really subtle foreshadowing about it, which was nice. Mm-hmm. Like
he
you
was
couldn't
a
pick
little
up
bitch,
it. But I thought they did, and then I liked his ending with becoming real. I thought it kind of fit.
Yeah, I mean, it was an obvious, like, Pinocchio story thing going on.
It was kind of reversed, though.
Yeah, like, he thought he was real, and then, I'm a robot, I hate life. He didn't go, I'm gonna be a real boy!
Yeah, he's like, I'm fine with being a robot, whatevs, I'm total emo now. And there was some great...
I'm totes emo.
like, moments with him after he discovered he was a robot, like, when he was gonna sacrifice Tizon's mech, he's like, you know, I don't think Tizon would mind if I borrowed the Flashpoint. I'm just gonna blow it up while he's gone.
Yeah, I don't know. He's like, I don't think I'd mind if I borrow his Megazord. Do it.
Self-destruct. Wait,
self-destruct
what?
Self-destruct button. Like, wait, what? No.
But yeah, like, that whole thing where he almost did that, and then when he went into Multor's base because he's the only one that could stand it, or even the end where, he, like, the Rangers saved him because they cared about him, I thought, his character was really well done. Mm-hmm. Despite all the flaws Overdrive had, I thought Mac
I think
was
that was, like, the most, like, successful thing they did myself.
It was. I thought so. I really enjoyed Mac, I'd say.
They did yourself?
Yes.
Kevin, what's your opinion? Homo!
He's a homo. He's a homo. Fashomo.
Okay, so Will?
Will.
Homo?
I hate Will. I hate that guy.
Okay. Not just trolling.
Partly due to the fact that the actor steals from the Make-A-Wish Foundation, and he has that face you see, and you just want to punch him because he's a douchebag.
He's got Matsumi teeth.
He does. That's why they hired him. Like, good similarity. Actually, he has better teeth than Matsumi, though. You have to say, Matsumi's teeth were fucked up. He looked like one of the twins from Transformers. Mudflap, Skids, and Matsumi.
Oh, that's great.
But he's a homo.
Like, hatred for Benta aside, he still wasn't a good character to me. I mean, he wasn't like a professional.
You're just saying
thief.
That because you didn't like Benta, so that's why you don't like the character. I'm sorry.
Pushes up nerd glasses. I don't know. Will just didn't
Spank
really
Shuki.
Seem to do anything.
He had a few good, like, it's probably my hate for him. He had a few good episodes. Like,
he
I
stole
liked
from the children. That's what he did.
Where he pretended to be on Kamdor's side.
Yeah,
was,
he did a good job of that. I'll give Benta credit for that. But
oh, yeah,
I
he played evil well. Gee, that was a stretch.
I was about to say that. I mean, well, he's probably used to that. But.
And then the only other time that I really, like, didn't mind him was in the Ronnie on Empty episode. I thought his acting was pretty good in that episode.
Yeah.
Like, it was really, the whole pairing was kind of forced by Bokander's plot, but I thought he did good in that one. But I was just always bugged by him in general. Like, I think his acting
like
was the weakest,
bastard.
Too. He did. Like, I pissed me off when he's like, so you guys have been Rangers before. I'm better. I'm like, fuck you, Adam. You're not fit to lick Adam's boot. Sicko.
You're not fit to lick Adam's balls.
Get away. Get away from him.
Like, I can just, lick Adam's balls.
It just bugged me. And, like, everyone else's profession was different from Bokander's, and I didn't like the fact that they kind of adapted Masumi. He's like, oh, he's a good thief. No.
He's a
douche.
He's a good thief.
It would have been funny if, like...
As it was, you made the black guy a black ranger. Now you made him a black thief. That's just... That's Dawson level right there.
Oh, my God. He's a legal thief. That I was recovering the ancient Corinthian whatevers. Like, that was a horrible line. You delivered that disgustingly.
Will's ADRs were always really off.
Lasers!
Lasers! Like, he turned homo whenever he touched the hovertech cycle.
Well, that's just understandable.
And he tried to copy Ethan's hovercraft cycle. He was like, hovertech cycle! Like, wait, I've heard this before.
I'm like, just give it to Adam. He did it so much better than you did.
He did. That's something I forgot to mention about Once Rangers. Like, they mismatched weapons. That was cool. Yeah. And the cycle. And I want a figure arts Adam with Defender Vest. Just saying.
I just want a figure arts Adam so I can rub it.
But, I mean, Overdrive as a whole had some pretty poor ADR sessions. But uh-huh. Will just always seemed like the worst. He had, like, some of his were, like, Kevin-level ADR. Not you. Not you.
Both. I'm just kidding.
Oh, well. Well,
but like, yeah,
firing
no, Dawson just,
next.
It just seemed really off to me.
Yeah, like, I just don't like Will anyway.
Just,
the Shomo.
But, so, Dex.
I hate this fuck.
Dex was...
Annoying.
I'm not going to say he was more annoying than Tizon. But, I don't know, Dax was just so odd.
Annoying, yeah.
Like, the thing was, is that I remember, like, before I started, I remember Dax being really obnoxious. Like, he wasn't annoying.
He was less obnoxious and just dumb.
Like, he just didn't have much of a presence. Like, I don't remember much from him outside of his little thing with Mira, and then the episode where he auditioned for that movie. Other than that, he always felt like he was in the background.
And then being the only person who knew what Bridge was talking about.
Yeah.
Makes sense to me.
Makes sense to me. Of course it would.
I think Dax lied because he liked Bridge.
Yeah. But,
Dax is a homo.
I don't have much to say about
how dumb was his power?
What was his... Oh,
yeah.
Yeah, he definitely had, like, the least helpful power. Particularly because Mac jumped just as high as he did. I think Ronnie jumped just as high as he did, too.
And she could go fast.
Oh, yeah, I remember that. Now they gave them all powers because they needed to do something cool for the show.
Yeah.
What was I going to say about Dex? And I forgot.
I don't have too much to say about Dex.
Yeah, he was just there.
He's a homo.
He had Although it is anything.
It is funny that the character is a stunt actor, but then when he's doing stunts, someone else is doing the stunts. I thought my computer was going to get sucked into a vortex watching that episode. I'm like, or my TV, I was like, they just created a paradox. Play the stunt man that can't do his own stunts.
I touched it.
And then at the end of the show, he wanted to become a director.
Yeah, that was random.
He wanted to become Koichi.
Yes.
Yes.
Alright, so, yes. Ronnie.
She's a girl.
Yep.
I kind of liked Ronnie, actually.
She reminded me of Danica Patrick.
Yes.
Just, hey, I'm a hot chick that drives cars. Woo!
I'm yes,
like, okay.
She was somewhat attractive, and it made it possible to watch the program with seeing a female presence on the show.
I liked her, like, Zordgasms.
Shut up.
I thought those were fun. I thought it was funny that she was always excited over that shit.
I think Ronnie benefited from the fact that Natsuki was such a character focus in Bokenger, so there was a lot of footage to work with for her.
Yeah.
Whereas, like,
the rest of the team got blown.
Where, yeah, basically, like, Dax was always in the background because Sota didn't have that many good adaptable episodes.
Yeah. That makes sense.
But, he had that one with the cat. Was it a cat?
Yeah,
the
it was
animal.
A cat that turned into
Oh, that was some weird shit. And he had that one with his, like, old partner in the CIA.
Oh, yeah. We obviously couldn't do that one either, so, like...
Here's my old partner down at the stunt house.
Like, all of the SOTA episodes we couldn't use, so Dax was just kind of sitting there going, duh!
Duh.
He was in that normally.
But, I mean, Ronnie was strange and pretty annoying most of the time, especially at the beginning. But I didn't mind her at all, really.
Like I said, I kind of liked her. I thought she was fun.
Like, I mean, she was annoying at the beginning, like, I have to win all the time, ever.
Duh, winning.
But, I mean, she got over that, and she became a competent character. And... So I didn't mind her for the most part.
Yeah. So next, Brian's favorite, Rose.
Rose. I only like Rose
Asian.
Because she was smart and Asian.
She wasn't a stereotype at all.
Two attractive things to me.
Two things that bug me about Rose. One... Her character completely changed from the pilot to after that. Like, she came... Like, she was still smart. She came. Oh, God. She was still smart. But, like, in the first episode, she kind of had an attitude. And then after that, she just kind of became a know-it-all. Like, with, it's not the same type of attitude. If you, like, you know what I mean. Yeah. Like, it just... It seemed like her personality shifted. And, like, I kind of would have liked her to keep a little bit more of that attitude. I liked it better. But she was someone else who bugged me a lot the first time I watched it that wasn't as bad the second time through. I'm still bugged by the Pretty in Pink episode. Not Pretty in Pink. Arr. The Pirate in Pink. That that was just an annoying episode.
We're gonna find the treasure.
Oh, like, God. And, like, she had, like, these really, like, horrible overacting facial expressions that weren't helped by the constant slow motion. Like, she was like, overdrive, accelerate! And she had, like, one eye popping out, and, like, her mouth was all freaky, and, or, like, when Taizan went down that one time, she was like, Taizan!
Excuse me, what?
What did I say?
Taizan went down.
Oh, God. Well, then Taizan, he got attacked. You're dirty. But my point is she had, like, a really weird overacting face that wasn't helped by the slow motion.
Oh, God. I'm scared,
like,
now.
I'm glad, like Kevin said earlier, like, she had a reason to know what she knew.
Yeah.
So it wasn't so, like, out of the blue. Like, how the fuck does Billy know all this shit?
It gave her character redeeming quality.
Look, he graduated high school at 25, okay? He's the super genius.
Billy's like, I know how all these pieces work. He fixes the entire command center.
Look, I can make a flying car. What? And you're not rich. Why?
Car.
Why are you wearing overalls and not rich?
So, yeah. I mean, it was nice that, like, she had a reason for who she was, as opposed to just being completely random. So.
Pretty much.
But, yeah, she did go through a really drastic personality change after the first episode.
I thought, like, that the selection of people, like, to find for a team was a lot better than Lightspeed, at least qualification-wise, I thought.
Yeah, I questioned stunt actor, but...
You could still pull off some stuff.
Yeah.
Better than a swimmer.
Well, better than a SeaWorld performer.
Yeah, seriously.
Yeah, and picking, you know, a thief, because we need to go in and steal things from places, okay, that's fine. We picked a history person, that makes sense. We picked a race car driver, because our Zords are all cars.
No, it's because you needed a getaway car when we'll steal stuff.
Fair enough. And then we had a stunt guy, because we need to have an annoying person on the team. And then Mac.
Mac
just picked up the morpher and he was like, accelerate!
Disney seasons always did that.
Like, Overdrive had the most slowing down,
like,
I've ever seen.
Their first morph was always, like, in slow motion, and then Overdrive just did it multiple times for no reason.
Yeah, it's ridiculous.
Like,
they needed to stretch time out. They knew the scripts were terrible.
Or that explosion where Miratrix and Kamdor got hit, and you could totally tell the stunt actor for Miratrix is a guy. And the actress? No.
Oh.
Yeah. She was okay. Taizan.
Taizan. I love Taizan. He's the coolest ranger in the history, even better than Tommy. Oh, God. I'm just kidding.
Tyson was like awesome.
A homo.
At the beginning. Like he played like the whole alien part perfectly, and then right after
I'm pretty sure he is an alien.
No, I meant like Dwayne Cameron or whatever the fuck his name is. Like the character was handled well at the beginning, and then like right after his introduction, they just turn him into a giant alien creeper.
Yeah, like he really did have one of the better, or probably one of the top best Six Ranger introductions in terms of uniqueness, because they totally rearranged all that Bokenger footage, and like he just did a better job when he played the alien, or the alien the lizard.
Lizard dude. Yeah, they rearranged the fuck out of that, but it was pretty good. Like. And then he died. And then
well, and then when he turned back, he was very mild-mannered, and he kind of pretty much acted like he did when he was a lizard, except without the gruff voice, and he was fine. And then in the episode where he introduced, he was okay. But then after that, he did really weird shit. He started copying everyone and watching them.
Copied
and,
Will and then stalked Rose.
He just came off as so weird and annoying, and it was just like
Mac at some point.
Oh, probably. Like, he was just like Rose. Like, right after his introduction, he just changed, except worse.
Yeah.
Like, I enjoyed the episode where he thought he was on his home planet and he was being convinced it never happened. And he was tolerable in that one, but he was just overall a really strange character. And most of the time, he felt really out of place for me amongst the five they'd already chose. Like, oh, hey, he's just an alien sitting there with his orange suit despite him being silver. Really, there couldn't have been silver accents or gray?
Yeah.
Like, boom.
Boom.
And that guy has been trying to be a ranger for like 4 years.
Yeah.
He's like, have I lost enough weight yet? Man.
And now we see why he wasn't, because he's a terrible actor.
It was a nice touch that they had those silver eyes, though. That was a nice touch.
That was nice. Like, I like this whole story, and I like how everything was handled. He just, after the intro and, like, the very end, he was just...
Yeah, it was kind of... Stupid.
He had his little Mercury thing. He was Mercurizing in Mercury, and
at least he had a hot girlfriend.
Yeah, stole it from Jack. In all fairness, though, he was cheating on her with Kira.
Possibly. Who wouldn't?
In before, Jack's girlfriend is actually Vela's descendant.
Wait, what? I get it. I see. So she's like 1/8 and 3/14 Mercurian.
Yeah.
Wow, my mind was just totally blown.
You say 1/8 and 3/14.
I don't know. I was trying to make a reference.
Okay. So anyway, on to the supporting characters.
Should we talk?
Hartford. We'll start with Hartford.
He's a creepy guy.
He was. I like most of what he did, and his actor handled the role really well. But he is a creepy dude.
He is. Like, he wore the same shirt and pants, I think.
Like, I didn't mind him. He was okay in the show. He just, by the time you're done, you're like, this dude is creepy. Why is he making a robot child?
He fit the role perfectly, like, of that rich type archetype person.
Yeah.
But there were some moments where his decisions were really questionable. Like, you're like, oh, the Rangers have been kidnapped. They're being tortured as we speak. After the next jewel, who cares about them? Like, what?
Yeah. Like, he was so focused on the jewels, and then the whole thing with Mac, like, okay, you built a android son that was probably around the age of 20-ish, and, like, I mean, I guess I understand that point, because they needed a point to where he wouldn't notice he didn't age.
Yeah.
But, like, I mean, that whole thing is just weird. Like, just
he
adopt
some
a kid
sick
for Christ's
shit off.
Sake.
Like, he made the android, implanted memories in him, made him believe he was human.
Photoshop pictures.
Horribly. So even Dax could notice. Like, what? There's some sick shit there if you really sit there and think about it. And, like, what kind of a billionaire can't get some sort of chick to sleep with him?
I know.
You like, got these old fuckers marrying these 16-year-olds.
That reporter chick was all over him.
I know.
They could have totally had a kid.
Just, like, it was a good story, but... And, like, all those times where he just wanted... He loved to take people's trackers. It was a fun hobby of his. I'm taking your tracker! Like, goddammit, again? Really? That's Spencer. Why are you talking to him like that? He's just trying to be like, I don't have a tracker, sir.
Sir, I don't believe I have a tracker.
But...
You're out of control. I'm taking your tracker. Damn it.
You could put a lot of his logic by the fact that he felt really responsible for freeing everybody.
Yeah.
And then he's really stressed out.
Like, I understand that he would be, like, stressed and worrying about things, but, I mean, seriously, just, like, calm down, take a breather. You don't have to take all their trackers every time someone fucks up once.
It just seemed, like, really random. Like, half the time he'd be totally cool with stuff, and the other half he'd be taking their tracker and their lemonade.
He'd be like, well, you let the jewel escape, I'm taking your tracker. And then, like, Spencer's like, no, you, and gave it back to him. And then he's like, sir, don't you think you were a little hard on him? Oh, yeah, I guess so. I need to go give him his tracker back. It was like 5 minutes later, he's like, I already did, sir.
Don't worry about it, I'm the only one important here.
It's like how, like, one of your parents punishes you, the other one just comes and takes it away. You were too hard on him. I gave it back to him. I ungrounded him. He's fine.
He's fine. But, like, I don't know. He was bipolar.
I think he was. He hasn't been diagnosed yet. Because he just, what is he doing? He just lives in that house all the time and goes on Indiana Jones cosplay adventures. They could have made it a little bit different from Indiana Jones, not to be so blatantly obvious.
It was pretty blatant, like, brown outfit, hat, jacket.
Whip? Did he have a whip, or was I just imagining it?
He probably had a whip.
I just imagine people carrying around whips. Shia LaBeouf was next to him. He should have just built Shia LaBeouf.
I was thinking that.
And then he could be like, Optimus!
Short round is there.
There's a bunch of Transformer stuff going on there, because then Max's story is just like, sorry.
Oh, God.
Indeed. All right, so on to the only character that matters in this show, Spencer.
Spencer is the shit!
Damn it, I was going to say. That was mid-sentence.
Wolves. I love Spencer.
I love him. He's awesome.
I'm going to go as far as to say that he's one of my favorite supporting characters in the whole series in general.
Yeah, he's fantastic. He's always, like, doing dress-up and cool things and getting...
Like, unbelievable dress-up, too. Like, he passed off as Ronnie. I'm like, how do you even do that?
I know, that was pretty funny. Despite that whole plot, I'm like, why didn't you just fucking take the... He's like, I got the hammer, derp. Why didn't Ronnie just run by him and take it? But whatever. But it was just, he was so useful, like, between the disguises. And he was basically the mentor. Andrew ran around being bipolar, wearing the same shirt. And Spencer was, like, he'd always give really good advice to the Rangers, and it would always help.
He was smart. He was helpful. He made the butteriest English toast.
He had some really great lines. I love when he's like, lemonade, Spencer. He's like, I'm fine, sir. Thank you. I really like Spencer. He's probably my favorite thing about Overdrive.
Well, he is.
Like, I agree.
Like, David Weatherly, like, he was in Lord of the Rings or something.
But, that's awesome. I need to watch that movie again now.
He's, like, apparently incredibly popular on Broadway and stuff. Not Broadway, but New Zealand theater.
Uh-huh.
So, I mean, he's a really respected actor. And, like, I think he did such a good job on the role that he was probably the best character on the show.
He was. I just loved him. He was awesome. I want him to come back.
He never made mistakes because he was the awesome butler.
Yeah, he's just awesome. He's a good actor.
He cared about everyone. He understood everyone more than Hartford did.
Pretty much. Like, he always would just sneak in after Hartford tried to give advice and give real advice.
And I love his, like, disguises and everything. Like, there's no possible way that would ever work, but it was just awesome. It's like Ronnie pulls off her face and it's Spencer.
It's such a fun element.
Like, Hartford's all, abandon your friends, get the jewel. And then Spencer comes in. Don't you think you could find a way to get both? And like, you're right, Spencer.
Everybody named Spencer is awesome. In fact, I'm pretty sure that the dad that Carly and Spencer have never seen is Spencer. And he's Spencer the second.
Genius. All right, is that enough Spencer fapping?
Yeah, this chapter should be called I Love Spencer. Even though it'll be called, like, characters. Just put Spencer and other side characters.
Okay. Like, I don't... Yeah, he was just so good.
I know. I honestly want him to come back at some point.
Like, all the funny humor that this show had, like, all came from him, too, most of the time.
Yeah.
Go, Spencer.
Spencer, you're the best.
We need I Heart Spencer shirts on the shirt store.
We do. Do you?
Alright, so Sentinel Knight.
He was very chippy.
He was on someone's shoulder. I forgot who it was. Skies? Yeah.
He was interesting. Like, he... Oh, God. Like, Aristotle said this, so probably we might read his post later. I don't know what we're reading.
We could just quote posts of the ones we don't read, I guess. But, that's a good idea.
Like, he mentioned the fact that Zubon was such a pain in the ass to watch. And sent them,
Zubon!
Like, took Zubon and, like, turned him into an actual character.
It took a meat brain and made him a character, basically.
I just like the way everything was handled with Sentinel Knight.
Yeah, I thought they did a good job of that, like, making him there at the beginning with the Corona Aurora, and then tying, like, in Zubon by making him get, like, a new form with a sword, him being the Battleizer, and then rejuvenating at the end. It was just a really good constant, like, side character, and it was a lot better than Zubon, who's like, hey, look, I'm here.
Zubon, bon, bon, Zubon!
Like I'm a Pokemon.
You're in a bottle.
Yeah, I mean, I don't have too much to say about him because, I mean, he really didn't have any too many character moments, but he was just so much a pleasure to watch than Zubon was.
Yeah. That was one of the great, like, total new show things they did, is they just made him an actual character that functioned. And he had a pretty epic voice that echoed.
Yeah.
I would like a sandwich, which...
Why am I here? Okay, so that's actually it.
Okay, see you next time.
Like, I don't know where to put Norg because he wasn't really a villain.
Yeah.
We'll talk about Norg now because I feel like it.
Yeah. Norg is also the shit.
I love Norg.
Like, I can see where people would hate him, but like, I just love those characters, and Norg was so stupid.
It's Kelson Henderson.
That's my reasoning, basically. You don't need a reason besides that.
I saw it. I remember seeing the opening credits the first time, and there's Kelson Henderson as Norg, and I'm like, fuck yeah.
He did such a great job of playing all these different characters and making him so different.
Yeah, like, I mean, we'll talk about it when we get into the villains, but I mean, Kelson Henderson did Norg this season, and then he voiced, which one was it? Mig.
He's
like a fig with an M.
So, I mean, he does such a good job at playing all these roles, but doing everything so different and doing different things with his voice and all that. Like, he's such a great actor, and I miss him. I want him as Daigyo. Like, I refuse anyone else besides Kelson Henderson as Daigyo. But
Norg was just so much fun. Like, he was really, like, adorably, stupidly funny.
You wanted to hug him.
He made Clance, for God's sake.
Clance.
You got Clance.
Like, every time Flurious would, like, punch him in the face or freeze him or push him down, I'm like, stop making fun of him. He is cute.
And then Robert just came right back up and be like, oh, I love you too. I'm like
Norg, hug him. Just leave. Leave.
He did a good job. I mean, the show did a good job also of, like, near the last quarter, last half, slowly introducing him to the Rangers so he knew them, and slowly turning him over to the side of good, even though he was never evil. Yeah. To kind of opening up that passageway, which was... He did, like, a good job of that.
Like, but, he did a good job of being, like, a good guy.
I like to think that he just lives at the mansion now and has time with Spencer now. They just have good buddy times.
They do. I mean, I know he lives at the thing.
I want Spencer and Norg show, and I also want the Simmons and Dutch show. Make it happen. This is impossible. Not for me.
Not for me. It's already up.
Oh, Dutch, you're so awesome. Sorry, yeah. Oh, Dutch. Anyway, Norg was awesome. Another one of my more favorite elements about the show.
Yeah. Like, any time you have Kelson Henderson as a, like, a side character role, you're set.
You are duh winning.
I'm gonna go play with the Leaf.
That was a great line. I'm bored. I'm gonna go play with the Leaf.
Like,
yes, you are.
Like, there's just a big fight in the middle of the cage area, and he's just like, I'm bored. I'm gonna go play with the Leaf, and walks away.
To find said Leaf.
I'm like, you, sir, are a winner.
Yep.
Duh winning.
But Norg was awesome. Okay, so now officially on to villains. We'll start with Flurious, since we just talked about Norg. So Flurious was like, I guess, like, the main bad guy, sort of,
mm-hmm.
in a sense. I mean, that's how it ended, but
I love his costume.
He always played such a back burner to the other villains.
Uh-huh.
Mostly because Gaja was just kind of sitting there going, "This is in this
Gaja." Yeah, Gaja didn't have as many monsters or anything like that. All he did that Florius didn't was show up like Narutaki and just be like, "Bokisha, Cinderella!" And I'm like, "What are you doing? Leave, you KKK member." Anyway, go ahead. I'm just gonna say.
I agree. I liked his design, his suit. I didn't really mind the actor all that much. I just think he suffered from lack of badassery, really.
Yeah, except for the end where he killed his brother.
Yeah, that was pretty awesome. He was like, "Sit down," and Moltar sits down. He's like, "Ah," and Moltar explodes. I'm like, "Well, that's kind of heartless."
Pretty much. Like, you said he suffered from it because not only did Gaja not do as much, but the stuff he did just really wouldn't make sense. Like, it wouldn't make sense for Florius to just show up after a fight with the Fear Cats and just yell at them and, like, bring a Cinderella slipper into it, and I don't know what that would do. But basically, all he did for most of the series was sit in his cave and watch his ice TV and watch the show, basically. And he showed up for Once a Ranger, and then at the end, and, like, they sort of tried to play it off at the end, like, it was like Lothar where he'd planned it the whole time. He's like, "Thanks for getting the jewels for me." Like, that wasn't your plan. Stop playing. Like, that's the way they tried to play it, I felt. That was plan all along, was to sit back and watch everyone else kill themselves.
It was. Like, I thought I remember them saying particularly that he was just going to sit back, watch, do things when he needed to, and then pretty much, like, he said he was going to let Moltar collect all the jewels and then kill him.
Yeah, he did say that. But it just, he suffered from that, but he did a pretty good job in the final battle.
Yeah.
He was more threatening in the final where he killed his brother and went crazy. Even though, like, the whole Corona Roa turns you into Gaja didn't make sense to me. I guess it just fulfills your desire. Like, the Max desire to be human or whatever.
Max desire to be Gaja.
Or the Rager's desire for Mac to not be dead. But, yeah. Like, there's not a whole lot to say other than I love the fact that they came up with an original villain. And the whole fire and ice thing really worked.
Yeah. Like, I like that because, like, Gaja wasn't just, like, a mystical priest guy, and the chillers were, like, rock dudes.
Yeah.
So it was cool that they took an opportunity and changed it to ice to play off of Moltar's fire thing, so that was pretty cool.
Because it's kind of for both of them. I loved their whole backstory. I thought it was unique.
Except for the fact that they were fighting over a sled.
Yeah, that was really stupid. And, like, I think, unless I'm forgetting something from the pilot, all they said is it was two brothers that went to find the crown together and they were exiled, and never really explained, other than the sled, why they were so mad at each other. Unless they just had years to think about all the shit that went down between them, because...
Probably.
Like, they all of a sudden hated each other.
I think they were just caught on the planet for a long time, and they're like, "You know what, I hate this guy, it's his fault."
Yeah, probably. It's just, that part wasn't really well done, but the whole backstory was completely different from Gaja and Rion, so I thought it was well done. And I said that weird like a robot. Good thing.
Good thing.
Good thing.
Good thing.
Good thing.
Good thing. Good thing. Anyway, anything else?
No. Kevin? Yep.
Yep.
There we go.
Flurious. Anything?
Wait, you said Flurious. Oh,
no,
it's Kevin.
Kevin.
Okay.
Oh, Flurious was cool. I enjoyed Flurious. He was another well-done American-made villain, I thought. And then his dynamic with Norg was awesome.
All right. Moltar. Kevin, go ahead and kick
very
it off
fiery.
So don't fall asleep again.
Yeah, kick it off before you die.
He is a fire type. Very fiery.
Thank you.
Okay, now.
That was necessary. It was.
That was pretty much all I remember about Moltar. I mean, he's there occasionally, but I never cared.
He didn't really do a whole lot. I mean, he just kind of built up his army and attacked things.
Yeah, I didn't like Moltar. His voice bugged me. He was really annoying.
You mean you don't like Mark Ferguson?
I didn't say I didn't like Mark Ferguson. I said I don't like Moltar.
Oh, that was his voice.
I know, but I'm just saying it's just, I just didn't like the way it was done.
He was Gekor in Mystic Force. How dare you? I'm kidding.
Who the hell's Gekor? He's a gecko whore?
He was one of the ten tears.
It's related to She-Ho from... But I just... Because I know Brian is like Bokenger, but I liked Rion's story in Bokenger. So Moltar is just kind of meat-brained. Oh, I'm evil!
Wasn't it kind of the same thing as Moltar and Flurious, just with just one person and not the crown?
Sort of, because he was a scientist and he wanted to become a lizard and stuff.
Oh, that's weird.
and he lost
crack
his,
shit going on.
Yeah, and he lost his humanity. I thought it was more dramatic, and just Moltar was just kind of angry and did stuff. Like, he had the most prominent battles, the most footage of fights and monsters and stuff, but he had no development or anything. He was just kind of a meathead, and he looked like Daijujin.
Yeah. Like, they did a good part at that.
I didn't like it.
We'll talk about that at the end of Villains, the whole referencing mecha thing.
But I didn't like Moltar.
Yeah. All right, so Kamdor. He was ninja dude, I guess.
He was just there. Like, that's the way I felt, especially near the end, about both of them. They were just there. Like thinking about it.
I think it was just because, like, the ninja people in Bokenger didn't really do too much either.
Other than his rivalry with Masumi. Because the rivalry with Masumi was more prominent. Like you said, except for that one episode, his rivalry with Will was kind of out of place. And, like, he just seemed to, like, run around being ornery about stuff. Just like Moltar. Like, "Rom, Kamdor, rah, my face is ugly." Like, he seemed like the most useless of the four to me.
Yeah.
Because he didn't really have, other than that Will plot, ties to anything. He's just like, "Hey, look, I used to live in a necklace."
Yeah.
Jolly Rancher. Yeah.
And
maybe
M&M's.
Oh, damn it.
Mirtrix, too, since they're kind of both useless. Like, Mirtrix did a lot more than Kamdor because she was, like, the human villain that they need to feature for the show.
She was a lot better than Kazuno Shizuka, I'll tell you that.
I hated that broad.
Oh, she was annoying.
Her voice was just so squeaky.
Half the time she talked normal, and then she'd be like, "Eh!" I'm like, "Oh, God, leave. Please." Sorry. Should have been a moment. Her acting was kind of on and off for me. Like,
yeah, it was.
In the first episode, like, when playing Mira, she was pretty bad, I thought, when she was playing good.
Yeah.
But, she said, she just felt out of place. She did have that, like, some interesting dynamic with Dax and then Will and that whole thing. They didn't really play with that too much, though, but... Oh, gosh. Sounded okay. Wrong. But she was just there, and especially in the end, it just was really out of place and dumb. She's like, "Fine, you don't want me anymore, then I'm going to absorb this gauntlet and become an owl." Because that was the main villain for this Shadow Ninja tribe. And, like, their whole ending was abrupt and weird, and they were just... I didn't like them, really.
I didn't care for them at all, really, either. Like, it's a shame, because I love ninjas. Like, I like Kamdor's design too. He just didn't play a prominent role in anything and was just like, "I'm a ninja, bah."
I did like the fact in the beginning they realized they needed henchmen and tried to take those stuntmen.
Yeah.
That was funny. It's like, "Hey, everyone has henchmen but us. This isn't fair."
Okay, the Fear Cats.
They were scary.
Not gonna divide them up because I honestly didn't know which one was which until I looked at the Wikipedia.
Neither did I. I don't even know what the other one's name is. Meg,
Benglo, and Cheetar.
Cheetar. He's the Cheetar.
Cheetar was voiced by Colonel Truman. So,
oh, Colonial Truman.
Too bad he died. And then, like I said before...
Wait, the actor died in real life?
No, Cheetar.
Oh, God. I just wanted
Cheetar died in, like, the episode he came back in.
Oh, yeah, okay. I thought you meant the black guy for a second.
Benglo was voiced by Spencer, and Meg was voiced by Kelson Henderson. So, like, they have the coolest voice cast.
Yeah, so they're definitely the shit.
Outside of the chick that played Krazar, because Krazar's voice made me want to, like, die.
She had a Krazar saber, so. And she was supposed to be a guy.
But, I think the Fear Cats were honestly the most threatening villain group.
They were. They had the most threatening final battle, other than Florius being like, "Bro, I got the crown." Like, it came off a little bit more threatening in Bokenger for some reason. Like, there was more peril. Maybe it seemed more stretched out. But, they had a plan. They're like, "Whoa, we mixed this thing in this barrel, and now we have an epic Zord." And they started killing everything. And they seemed to have more plans.
Like, they easily did the most damage.
And I liked that it was kind of unique, because they didn't... Except for that time they brought back that cross-dressing transvestite thing. And then Cheetar, they just used robots instead of having their own monsters.
Yeah. Like, that, it was a nice take on things.
And they were brought back by the goddamn engine. Part of the goddamn civilization from Bokenger. That's seriously what it sounded like.
Gosh is the goddamn priest.
Like, it didn't feel like it as much when I first watched it because you watched it airing, but in the second airing, it felt like they weren't around as long just because of the condensed season.
Yeah.
But if you watch it, like, the way it normally airs, it didn't seem that way. Well, but they were okay.
Each episode.
They're, like you said, they were definitely the most threatening.
I think they were most successful, too.
And they had ties to Tizon.
Yeah.
Which kind of did some more than, like, Camdorn did, which really didn't do much. It was a little bit more emotional for Edgy and Bokanger, but
yeah.
This one still worked because of his crew dying and they stole that story from Akashi. But
they just, like, Overdrive just, like, took Bokanger and was, like, splayed it out on a wall and just rearranged a bunch of things.
Pretty much.
Buying things and was like, this is original. They added a couple more post-it notes of their own work, too.
Pretty much, like, Mac is robot. Chief should have been a robot. He was too perfect.
Like, I mean, that's really it for the villains. I thought it was awesome that they designed the villains out of past Sentai mech.
Yeah, so, I mean, a lot of them you could tell, though.
While some of them don't work here because we didn't get those ones, but, like, some of the more obvious ones, like Moltor being the MMPR Megazord and that one T-Rex thing being the obvious Q-Rex.
Yeah.
And the Lava Lizards being, like, the Dragonzord. There was the one that looked like the Titan Megazord. Like, it even had, like, the M on his chest.
Oh, yeah, that was the Magician one, right?
Yeah.
Did we get that one?
Yeah, I think we did.
There was one battle where Camdor just summoned, like, a bunch of monsters that were never used, including Cosmo
Shizuka. I think the Titan Megazord one was in Once a Ranger.
Oh, you might be right.
I think.
And then, like, he summoned some of Gaj's statues, which was funny.
He just summoned random things. He's like, man, I don't know.
I don't know, fuck.
Okay, yeah. It was, Volturus. The first one was based off the Manticore Megazord. And then when they stuck one of the goddamn engines in him, it turned him into the one the Titan Megazord is based
on. It's like reversed.
Yeah. That's fun. I don't see the Manticore Megazord in the first one, but whatever.
That was fun.
That was fun. I think we lost Kevin.
Kevin? Yep. Lost him somewhere along the way.
Yeah, he didn't like Overdrive anyway. Alright, so on to the Morph. I like the Morph a lot more than Bokenger's.
Like, I don't remember Bokenger's.
Bokenger's, they just, like, they did the little spin thing. And then, like, their mecha thing, like,
drove up to their chest.
Then it went, and then their helmet appeared.
And then they were like, Bokenja! They had, like, a little jingle. I'm like, what are you doing?
Bokenja, Bokenja, Bokenja! I'm like, no!
Yeah, I liked their morph. Like,
The projector thing to, like, look at suit schematics, and then it, like, just appears on them and stuff.
Yeah, that was neat. I liked that. I thought it was a cool morph. And it was in the... I liked the morphing call, too. I thought it was... It worked. And I liked when they morphed off things.
Yeah.
It was cool.
Like, Bokenger did a lot, and then Overdrive did it too. Like, just the random, like, spin on a sword or the wall or a rock or anything like that. It was cool. It was an opportunity to do something strange with this little wheelie thing on the morpher and, like, make it awesome.
Yeah, create, like, a lot of quick morphs, which was neat.
Yeah.
Which you can't really do with a lot of things.
Yeah, and then, like, the morph coils, Overdrive Accelerator, will activate things, and then they just roll in and
they just stop. They're like, shh. Just like, oh, shenanigans.
Oh, fuck it.
And it's pretty funny that in the finale, when they all did a cool morph, and then Tizon does a stupid button. So he just falls to the ground and morphs. Tizon went down.
Oh. Alright, so suits.
They're not my favorite suits, but I like them.
Yeah, I don't mind them. They're probably one of my, like, least favorite suits for some reason. I don't know what it is, but they just don't really sit well with me. But I don't hate them, and there's nothing I really dislike about them. There's something I don't like, but I don't know what it is, so I can't.
Yeah, like, the body does look a little strange at points, but, like, overall, like, they're not, like, in my top five or whatever, but I
I kind of dig them. Like, and I thought Mercury Ranger's suit was pretty cool.
Yeah.
Like, it was unique. It was a little odd looking. And I don't know why the antenna was there. But I thought it was kind of neat.
Okay, so I guess we'll move on to the Arsenal.
Arsenal! Okay, so I guess we start with Morpher. The Overdrive Tracker. I'm taking your tracker.
I'm taking your tracker.
Taking your tracker.
Like, I didn't mind the tracker. I thought it was kind of weird.
Yeah, it was weird.
It grew on me, but...
It was unique and weird, and it was kind of neat. Like, we already went over how it was cool they morphed off things.
Yeah, I like that. That's what kind of grew on me. Like, I didn't like it at first.
Like, the idea behind it's cool. It's, like, not the typical cell phone morpher. It's, like, got, like, the scanning function and the morphing, and I don't know. It was unique, and it fit the whole overall, like, theme and idea of the show.
Yeah.
Whereas Mercury's didn't really make any sense to me. It was just a... giant button.
I don't really know. Like, it didn't make too much sense in Bokenger either.
Like, I don't really care for it. Like, it's like a big button with some numbers and a lid.
Yeah.
Like, I guess his morph was like Dino Thunder's. Bagel! Pussy? What?
Bagel. But yeah, I mean, I'm looking at it right now, and shut up. I don't know, it just, it doesn't fit as well as the tracker does.
Yeah,
it's got,
like,
the stupid lid for, like, no reason. Why do you have a lid?
I don't know, it's not meant for easy access, clearly.
It doesn't do anything. I'm like, I liked how the U.S. toy added a black light onto it.
Yeah, at least it gives you something to do.
That was neat, but...
I just don't care for it. Sentinels was the same thing. It's just a copy of it.
Yeah.
The Battleizer morph.
It was at least a slight remold. It wasn't straight up repaint.
Yeah. It was kind of neat looking, actually.
Yeah. It was really hard to find, too.
It was. I found it, like, right at the same time I found Jungle Fury stuff.
Yeah. Jeff found some at... If I want to remember correctly, was that, like, a KB Toys in one of our halls?
Oh, God. Are those still alive? They all got killed.
There's a couple of them still around, I think. But yeah, they were a bitch to find. So I'm thankful I have one. Thanks, Jeff.
Thanks, Walmart, for having it when I bought it.
Defenders. I like those.
Those, they defended them.
Mostly because I like guns that turn into swords.
It kind of reminded me vaguely of, like, the MMPR, the Alba Ranger swords, or Dino Thunder. Like, they were pretty cool looking, like... They weren't, like, really odd, like some of the weapons are, and
yeah, it was basically the Thunder Max sabers or whatever the fuck they were called, but just teched up to match the theme.
That makes the sword sound so extreme. Thunder Max, it's to the max. I maxed him a question. I don't know if it is. It's funny.
All right, so I mean the Defender vest.
I felt like that was hoarded out a lot
the
more.
The Drill Blaster. I feel like it was. I don't know.
Like, every turn they're like, Defender Vest! I'm like, really? You're eating lunch.
Defender Bib!
I didn't even think about it from that angle.
But, like, I mean, as for the Drill Blaster, when only half of it was a drill...
Yeah, that thing was odd.
The other half was the cement mixer, and then so the shovel and the crane just were fucked. They didn't get a weapon.
Yeah. But, like, it was a neat idea that you, like, pulled it back and changed it. It was just kind of fugly, and I don't know. The Defender Vest wasn't the greatest thing, but it was kind of neat that they kind of used it as a pseudo power-up.
Yeah.
Especially when Adam used it. That was awesome.
It's because Adam's a shit. And their individual weapons. I mean, you got the Lance is okay. The Giant Hammer's pretty cool. The fans, really? Like, the
that was
little
weird.
Turbines?
No. That was silly.
I can make a windstorm. The geyser thing.
It was a water gun.
It was a super soaker.
That's embarrassing.
Mercury's was pretty cool. I mean, the whole metal.
You just skip over
thing.
The drive claws altogether. Fuck those. They're not even worth mentioning.
Yeah, that's why I was doing them last.
Oh, okay.
Like, the drive detector was okay.
It wasn't, like, the neatest looking, but it was a unique idea that it was, like, a lance, like, spear weapon and a blaster and then a metal detector all at once.
Yeah.
It kind of fit Bokenger a little bit more for some reason, I thought. And, like, they had the whole explanation that it replaced his staff, even though it didn't for his, like, keeping himself straight, but it was a kind of a unique, neat weapon.
That story confused me when I watched.
I like that story.
I like the story. I just didn't know what was going on. I'm like, so it replaces the staff, and it makes.
They really didn't, though. They're like, LOL, it was a placebo effect.
It was Will Plower.
Will Plower. You Will Plower.
Anyhow, the claws. I mean, really, they're scoopers.
That was
little
ridiculous.
Scooper things. Like, these are the stupidest weapons I've ever seen in PR ever. And there's been some pretty stupid weapons.
Yeah, those were just...
When you get to the point where you had to attack people with bulldozer scoops, just quit.
Just pack up and leave.
But, I mean, they matched the her Zord and stuff, so, I mean, I'm okay with that. It's just they're so stupid as a weapon.
Yeah, it really was.
Ow. Particularly when you give him to Natsuki. He's so little and claws are so big.
Oh, God. I feel like there's a joke there to be had about
stuff. Didn't mean it as a joke, but...
I don't know. Well, I just mean the father... I don't know.
You had some other things, like they had their zip shooter.
The 00 zip shooter that used to just be called zip line. Like, wait a minute. They can't shout that out. That's stupid.
I mean, they had their little shark vehicle. That was pretty cool.
That was the, what was it? The SSJ 1.0 from Aaron Stone. But it was cool that they had something to, like, cart them around. And they all came down like a gay parachuting acrobat team. It's kind of weird. Not sure why they did that.
And they had their little ATVs and their Jeep.
Oh, yeah, that was kind of cool that they had vehicles that were for civilians that were repaints.
They had the hover tech cycle!
Lasers!
Every time Wolf shot those things, he was like, lasers! I'm like, no, it's not voice activated, dude. You push the button.
Like, you warn them you're about to shoot them. Like, it was cool that it's not always the Red Ranger that gets the bike and Black got it instead.
Yeah.
Like I mentioned, is it doesn't make sense when you're fighting threats to only give one person a high-powered bike. Why didn't you make one everyone one?
Particularly because you know Hartford could.
Yeah, and since he can own a movie studio.
It's not like goddamn Haley. The resources are probably limited.
Yeah, she just had two toothpicks and a rubber band. I mean, but... It looked kind of neat in bicycle mode. I didn't like bicycle mode. Motorcycle mode.
Ding, ding.
Now I just picture like that being in the shop and Will just riding him on a bike with a bell. And he's like, lasers! And these streamers just come out.
That's fantastic.
It is. But the hover mode, like, I didn't like it. I kind of liked...
Bikes shouldn't turn into helicopters.
I liked Ethan's better just because it was kind of unique that like the bottom turned into propellers, but this just literally had like a little umbrella at the top spinning. It just looked stupid. And it was more like a hovercopter cycle, and I don't know. It was just, it was okay, but...
Then the Transtech armor.
That's the Samurai Battle Armor. That's the Samurai Battle Armor.
I think it's the Samurai Transtech armor in the toy line. It's stupid.
They used it a few times. It was okay, I guess. Like, I didn't hate the design. It was just, like, blatant Bandai of America.
Yeah, it was basically just Bandai saying, we need this in the show. And they're like, oh, okay.
Yeah, so that was just there.
And, okay, so the Sentinel Knight Ranger.
Red Sentinel Ranger.
There we go.
Red Sentinel Ranger! Snaps fingers. Wait.
Wait.
I just had to pull out my sword with our cool sword effects. Like, they had this really cool, like, sword sound. Made it sound cool.
The only thing I didn't like was Sentinel Knight's face in the middle, but they didn't really do that
often.
Use it too often, so I didn't mind that too much.
Yeah, that looked weird. It made sense because of the nature of how the Battleizer works.
Yeah.
But without that, I kind of dug it. I thought it looked pretty cool.
I just like the fact that, like you said earlier when we were talking about it, like it changes his helmet.
Yeah.
And I like it when Battleizers like upgrade their helmets or change their body a bit other than just being armor.
Yeah.
So that was pretty cool. And he had the twin swords that he had like guitars and stuff. So that was pretty cool.
And the golden armor, like it kind of looked like Zuban or Sentinel Knight was definitely on him. And it made sense, and I'm actually surprised they didn't use it in Bokenger, like they did SPDs. But I thought it was pretty cool. And other than Rose making a technology that wasn't meant for humans before knowing Mac was a robot, I liked the idea.
I wish they would have came up with something else to do with that. Like, I don't. It just didn't. It's like, I developed this Sentinel technology to work with the Zords. I'm like, how would that have even worked?
I don't know. It would have been better if she would have just said that I haven't modified it to work with humans yet or something, or it's not ready. I did like a test and we killed some guy.
Or like, she was developing it for Zords, apparently.
Yeah, but it just didn't make sense, like, since it got used as a battleizer.
Yeah.
I don't know. But it was a good plot for Mac.
Yeah, it helped this whole transition. So I was like, I can do it, I'm a robot.
I can do anything better. Something about that song that I forgot the words.
I can do anything better than you.
Yes, I can.
No, you can't.
Caw, caw, caw. That's Kevin's part.
But yeah, I liked it.
Yeah. Not as cool as Magic Force.
And it
Mystic
has
Force.
Absolutely nothing to do with Hyper Kabuto, so...
Yeah, I can't
don't
see
even
it.
Even try.
Other than they both are red in some parts. They did, and then they just looked at Dandelion or some form for Jungle Fury and said, fuck it, we quit.
Yeah, I'm done.
And then what was next? Emperor form, and that was... Anyway. Is that it for Arsenal?
Yeah.
Okay, so Zords is next.
Yeah, I honestly don't really like them.
They're really not the best Zords, especially coming off of a lot of cool designs.
I'm just gonna kind of, like, just say it straight up. I'm not a huge fan of, like, vehicle Zords that, like, don't have some sort of interesting design to them.
Yeah.
Like, I like SPDs because they have the police motif, and I like Gokaigers because Gokaigers are awesome.
And they have pirates.
And they're pirates. But, like, with, like, light speed and overdrive, when you have a vehicle based in turbo and stuff like that. When you have vehicle based and like the realistic vehicles, I don't know, I just don't like it. I think just like I get so much of it off Transformers that I want something different.
Yeah, and these were a little bit too ridiculous with like the realistic real world vehicles, like really like a dozer, and then you got a what's the other one I was gonna say? Oh, a dump truck.
What
is this, Matchbox
Will,
to the rescue?
Will gets the race car and Ronnie's the race car driver.
Yeah. Like they weren't the great. Like the Megazord looked okay on its own. It looks pretty cool, but it's just not the best.
I don't really like Daiboken either.
The Drive Max is a totally extreme name. And then the auxiliary is like really like a shovel and a cement. Like really,
drill driver, shovel driver, cement driver, crane driver, and Sonic Streaker.
Ultimate Daiboken does look kind of cool.
They were all drivers except for the jet.
But I thought the Ultimate Daiboken actually looked pretty cool, though. It was compared to like something like G12 later. It fit together a lot well.
Yeah,
I mean a lot well.
Ultimate Daiboken's my favorite of the combinations, just because it seems to mesh a little bit better to me.
Yeah.
But I think with Ultimate Daiboken, there's so much going on.
Yeah.
That I can't really pick apart things I don't like.
Yeah, it's just because like if you look at like Samurai Howard G12, like even though stuff sort of fits together, this one felt more like it was supposed to, and it seems more.
Yeah.
Like a tiger.
Like, with G12, you got, like, things sticking on the shoulders that are for no real apparent reason. Was that Kevin?
Yeah.
Okay.
should we boot him?
No, just leave him in here. This is entertainment.
Okay.
And, like, Samurai Howe, he got, like, the lobster claws, like, just hanging out on the back of the supposed throne.
Samurai Howe was, like, a giant conga line.
Like they get to the point with some of these mecha that they're like, oh, we need to put these parts somewhere. Okay, let's stick them on his head.
Yeah.
Whereas, like you said, Ultimate Daiboken, it just felt like they knew where everything was going and everything had a purpose for the most part.
Yeah.
But, I mean, Flashpoint, starring Amy Jo Johnson. It was a decent show. No,
That's what Kevin thinks.
I didn't really like his. Like, it just looked stupid.
Yeah, it was, like, it was kind of dumb. I just didn't really care for it. The rescue theme fit him more than it did Edgy, actually.
Yeah.
Because Edgy was a badass half-demon hunter, and he was actually a rescuer, so that actually fit better.
Yeah.
Sure, they had a chance to write for it knowing about ahead of time.
And the battle fleet was probably my favorite of the three.
Like, just, it wasn't the coolest design, but it was kind of badass.
It was
like,
just
it rose up
awesome
and
it because
it
was like a
tank.
Big tank.
And it just drilled the shit out of you with its fists.
With its giant,
but seriously,
fists.
Black Zord was a brick with tiny wings.
Yeah, it suffered what I like to call, I'm trying to
Your
think
babe?
Of the SPD name. SWAT.
SWAT flyer.
Green SWAT SWAT Flyer 3 or something. We'll go with that.
Syndrome.
Bridge's SWAT vehicle was just a brick with little tiny wings.
Yeah.
It was a lot like that.
Same exact thing, pretty much. And quickly, I forgot to mention it. The dual drive or the Daitanken in Japan. It was cool that they actually had it so that those five can combine.
That was cool. It gives a nice.
It didn't look the greatest. It kind of looked like a sumo wrestler.
Really weird. It was his body was really thick and his head was like attached to his body, and then like when with the actual toy, like the wings fold back, and then you just got this big empty space. In the back, so it looked really strange, but
it was nice that they tried.
It was nice that they let it. Do that.
Yeah.
Alright, so that's about it for Zord since Kevin is snoring at us.
Unless you count Sentinel Knight, which really didn't do anything.
Yeah, he doesn't really count.
He transformed into a sword well.
Yeah, he punched things.
Punching. Okay.
So, music.
I thought it was another well done, like, scored season from the Gaelish or Disney era. It wasn't as well done as Mystic Force.
Yeah.
Or SPD. I felt like both of them had more tracks.
I think if you were, like, more of a rock fan, you might enjoy this score a little more than something like Mystic Force. But I think Mystic Force and stuff just had better overall scores than this did.
And I felt like some of the background tracks were a little quieter than the other ones, so you couldn't really hear them as well. Like, there was a few smaller tunes that I liked, but I could never really hear them that well. So I liked they had like the epic opera like music when they morphed.
Yeah,
it was like, oh, it's like Jesus.
And the theme was terrible.
Oh, it was.
Here's the theme. Like it was so.
That was a horrible.
It was similar to Mystic Force in that I really enjoy the background track.
Mm-hmm.
It just suffered from a terrible singer singing terrible lyrics.
Poor Ice Cube.
So it didn't work at all.
Yeah, I did. It's easily my least favorite theme. Like probably the
Power
worst.
Power Rangers
theme.
Overdrive is the number one team. I'm like, no, they're not.
And the rap was just too much. Like Mystic Force wasn't that bad.
It wasn't
Overdrive
that bad.
Was.
Mystic Force was like kind of like a faux rap.
Yeah, this one was actual
this
rap.
This was
and
like
it didn't work.
rap, and it was terrible rap. It wasn't even like quality rap.
It was awful. I didn't like it.
And they're walking through the sun and.
Yeah, I don't know. How do you go through the sun? Please assist.
Pointing at the sky and jewels and lives.
You're all reaching it in five different ways. One of us reaching with our toes. I don't know.
There's a planet to look after. That's a whole lot of space.
Oh, God.
There's a whole lot. I don't know.
Something about heroes on the scene. Villains, they didn't sync up the visuals very well later when they got more characters. They're like, I don't know. Can I talk about Adam's music now?
Yes.
I liked Adam's unique little music he got. Like, as you know, if you watch Monster Ranger, each ranger had their theme playing in the background when they were on. But instead, because they didn't have the rights to the MMPR theme, Adam got his own little theme, which I heard was done by his band, you can correct me on that if I'm wrong, but I'm pretty sure it is. But I really liked that theme. I thought it was badass.
It was pretty cool. Like, I understand if, like, you're a hardcore fan, it would bother you, but...
I'm a hardcore fan, and it doesn't bother me.
My problem with it would be the MMPR theme just doesn't work in today's age without remixing it like they did for Samurai.
Yeah.
Like, it's so 90s that it doesn't fit.
Yeah, it wouldn't have fit his sequences, especially, like, the his civilian fight and stuff. Like, that music lined up really well with it.
Like, I mean, if they had the rights to it and they remixed it like they did for Samurai... and did it, I would have been fine with that. But I think if you just, like, flat out played the original MMPR theme, it wouldn't have meshed well with all the other tracks that were going on.
If I had a choice between the original or remix theme and Adam's, I'd pick Adam's.
Adam's grew on me just because I like it.
How badass was that? Like, when he put on the Drive Defender, it was like, no, and I'm like, yes, you are Adam! I liked that. I loved his theme. I thought it was cool. And I would choose it over all MMPR themes.
And he's got his own theme.
I know, because he needs his own theme, because he's Adam.
I think the last person to have their own theme... Well, I guess his doesn't really count because it's a lyrical theme. Or, I mean, an instrumental theme, because I think
Who's
some
was
of
it?
The Silver Space.
Yeah, Silver was the last one.
Because he actually had a lyrical tune. But I think, like, probably, like, Lunar Wolf and stuff probably had a little...
Yeah.
Little instrumental tune, so I can't really... Yeah, fuck that idea. Throw it out there.
So, last few little mentions. I liked Moltor's music, because each villain... Like, all the villains usually, throughout the last seasons, get their own little tune.
Yeah.
And I liked the music when they went back to that bass that sort of reminds me of Phillip's lookup music in a way. I liked that music. But it was still, it was a good score. It wasn't as good as the others, but they did a good job of fitting the tone of the series yet again.
They're pretty good at that.
Yeah. So, final thoughts. Let me give Kevin's quick. Homo! Okay. So you go first.
Okay, Overdrive, I went into the second viewing pretty much with a negative opinion. And, I mean, I left it with a kind of a neutral opinion. I still think it's one of the weaker PR seasons. It's... I don't like Lost Galaxy. Or Light Speed.
You just have to say that. I don't like
I know people like them, and I honestly don't know why. But I understand that there are people that like them. But as far as my opinion goes... Lost Galaxy and Lightspeed are down there toward the bottom, and Overdrive's kind of hanging out there within the bottom five for me. Like, it just, it had so much potential, it had some pretty decently sketched characters, and a well-thought-out plot that was different from Bokenger to, like, completely keep me interested. And, I mean, though, I mean, at the time of the original viewing, I'd never watched Bokenger, so I really could give a fuck. But, it was just the episode count on top of the poor performances from the actor or the main actors. And just kind of the overall back and forth, so much to do, so little time thing.
Yeah.
Kind of just killed it and turned it into a really meh season.
Yeah, pretty much.
Like, where, I mean, whereas some seasons can have a kind of crappy storyline, but really cool people and actors. This one had the reverse. It had a really cool idea, just nothing could really get going, and like you said, it just felt disconnected.
Yeah, like, I didn't feel connected to the characters. I didn't feel engrossed in it, like I did with Mystic Force.
Yeah, Mystic Force, like, I mean, by the time the finale, like, they're getting their asses kicked, and, like, you were invested, you're like, bitches, you better win. Even though you knew they were going to, because it's Power Rangers, but...
Yeah, they dance.
Like, I mean, Mystic Force, like, they just pervade the fact that they were scared. Whereas in Overdrive, I mean, I got the hints from Mac that he was angry. But, I mean, outside of Mac, like, it was hard to pick up anything from any of the other characters.
Yeah. You could argue a lot that, because I'm still not a fan of that whole nitpicking that when you have a main character in PR, but you could argue the fact that these characters got less focused than Mac is near the end especially. Because I felt after Nick was revealed to be the light, the other characters got some shining moments after that, but it was mainly about Mac after that, which I don't have the slightest problem with him finding a focus, but I'm just saying.
Like, I think they just, like, I mean, you had them at the beginning, and then Tizon, when he was introduced, got quite a bit of focus afterwards, but they're just, particularly with, like, things like Dax, like we said, like, Soda just didn't have any episodes where you could contribute to him.
Yeah.
So we were stuck with Will, Ronnie, and Mac getting a lot of the focus until Tizon came around.
Yeah.
And then when he came around, he was getting a lot of focus too, with most of the rest being Will and Mac. And they just never really took Will's character anywhere, even though they were using all these episodes that had a Matsumi focus.
Yeah, like, he basically just ran around being a douchebag and was there. Like, even Ronnie, she was in a lot of the footage, but she didn't have a lot going on. Mm-hmm. Because, like, that the episode where it was a big deal between Masumi and Natsuki, and she was just kind of there like, help! Pretty much, that's what happened. As far as my final thoughts go, you pretty much summed it up really well, is that I kind of went into it with more negative views because I really hated it when I first saw it, but I, like Brian said, I left with a neutral opinion. I found a lot of respect for them in terms of what they tried to do with originality, which... It's like, I like most of the other Disney seasons better, but it's arguably the most original. To, like, you took the least from Bokenger.
Yeah, like, it took so much of the Bokenger footage and just twisted everything around to fit a newer story, and I appreciate that completely, and I respect them a lot for it. It just, the season as a whole just didn't sit right for me.
Yeah, like, just basically like a very mess season when I left it. A lot of things that I respect for, like the originality, and I really enjoyed Mac's story, and I agree with somebody's post I saw in a thread that had nothing to do with the Rambords, but they said it was probably one of the best twists in PR history, which I actually agree with.
Yeah, like, I enjoyed that. Like, I remember watching and going, I'm not really enjoying this season, but I'll admit that was fun.
Yeah, that was fun. Remember that time we murdered Mac? That was fun. But yeah, just, it was very meh. Like, I understand why people hate it. I think people blow it a little bit out of proportion, as with most things.
I think when you come to something like hate, people tend to blow things out of proportion when they hate something.
Yeah.
I mean, people can do the same thing when they really like something, mm-hmm. but only certain people are like that, whereas I think most of the time, almost everyone, if they really hate something, blows things out of proportion.
Or you're just determined to hate it, like with the Transformers movies. Like, no matter how great your argument is that it's at least an okay movie or an okay show, they dig their heels in.
Yeah.
But yeah, overall, it was just like a mess season. It definitely, like, personally ranks near the bottom just because there were so many other seasons I enjoyed more. I don't want to say so many, but anyway. But yeah, it was just very meh. But it wasn't nearly the horror fest that I thought it was going into it.
Agreed.
Agreed.
All right, sir, now on to the viewers' thoughts. We have recovered the Jedimon from a time portal.
And I'm sorry, Overdrive made me go to sleep. That's how it affects me.
We recovered him, so now we can do viewers' thoughts. He found chips somewhere, too, that he had earlier.
They were on Sky Shoulder.
All right, so I'm going to start. Okay, so Mr. Black says, even though Overdrive is considered one of the worst PR seasons, I actually thought that it wasn't that bad of a series. It was one of my least favorites, but I didn't think it was horrible, so he's kind of like in the same situation I'm in. In my opinion, I don't think any season was truly outright horrible, but back to this season. The concept of searching for treasure I thought was pretty unique for a PR series. The concept of searching for the jewels for the crown was cool as well. I also liked the Rangers getting used to working with each other and eventually becoming a complete team. The team-up is probably one of my favorites. Seeing the team teaming up with past Rangers from different series was awesome and a great way to celebrate the 15th anniversary. I thought there were a bit too many explosions, not just here, but in the series in general. Yes. I don't remember if we mentioned that or not, but there was a lot of Koichi explosions.
I think we did. Overdrive was the most out of all of the Disney seasons, I think.
Yeah, I agree. I also thought the alliance between the villain factors was kind of forced, and I thought, well, technically it was because of the footage, but... And I thought that Thrax fighting alone would have been better. Oh, okay, about the team... Oh, yeah, we're on the team-up. Derp. Heck, if he refused to work with the other villain factions, it'd be even better. But despite that, I thought it was a pretty good hurrah for the 15th anniversary of the franchise. The characters in the show, well, a lot of them didn't quite interest me. I mean, they were tolerable and had some good moments, but I didn't really connect with most of them. That was our problem, too. Mac was easily the most developed of the Rangers, and thus probably the one I liked the most. I never expected for him to be an android, and the relationship between him and his father after it's revealed became more distant, and I thought it was a good subplot. The villains I thought weren't all that interesting, maybe because there were different factions going against the Rangers, and thus not much comes out of them. At first, it was only Moltor and Flurious, and Norgor I thought was kind of funny. Good. Then Kamdor and Miratrix, then the Fear Cats, and Thrax and Once a Ranger. I mean, in concept, having multiple villains fighting over dominance not only over the Rangers but against other factions was nice, but wasn't executed very well, maybe because of the episode count. This guy is smart. As for the allies, Spencer was probably my favorite. I just love this guy. He always gave words of advice to the Rangers, and sometimes he was a better mentor than Andrew Hartford. I don't mind Hartford, but I like Spencer better, and he was a good character. Damn straight. The suits look pretty good. The emblem on the chest being a compass is nice, and it had a suit design. And it had... Wait. Compass is nice, and it had a suit design. Okay. The morph looked cool, with holograms of the Rangers' suits and gear being displayed before the formation of the suit, and the sequence is completed. Morphers for the Core 5 I thought looked cool, but the way they morph I thought was stupid. Spinning the wheel on their arm to transform? Well, it's more unique than pressing buttons, I'll give it that. I also like how it had a light that could decode hidden messages. Weapons were alright as well, not too much to say there. As for the morphers, like, I didn't like the spinning on the arm. I liked the spinning on everything else. Swan Sword.
It just sounds funny.
Shit. Well, like, it's just because, like, the pose with the arm, it was so strange. I just punched my as I was trying to mimic it.
Because I could totally see you doing that.
Good job, idiot.
But it just, it's a very odd motion, I guess. I just,
yeah.
It was, like, badass when they're, like, block a sword and then... And then they
what about when he was like, accelerate?
Anyway.
I was just thinking about the sword thing.
I don't have much to say about the Zords except for that for the most part they were alright and the multiple Zord combos were pretty cool. I'm probably gonna get some crap for this, but I actually kind of like the theme song. To each their own, bud. I don't know, even though it was terrible lyrics, it actually does have a great beat, and I found myself listening to it quite a few times. Well, that's not bad then. I said that the instrumental was fun. The lyrics were just dumb. Music in the show fit the mood. This scene was portrayed nicely, and the morphing music was cool as well. Overall, even if this is probably one, if not my least favorite season, I don't consider it a horrible season.
So basically, he's like our opinions, but he likes the theme song.
Yeah, but no, he's in a similar position to me about the theme song. Like, I like the background of the theme song.
The music itself is okay. It's just the lyrics.
Just
like
the
lyrics,
the singer is terrible.
If you have to say Power Rangers Overdrive is the number one team in your theme song, you probably aren't going to be good.
There's no need to fret.
Just for once, I don't make a way to change and freeze. I don't know.
I don't remember.
They're going to walk through the sun somehow.
Exactly.
That's how badass they are.
Okay, go on.
So, I'm going to read sound outs. He was pretty, like, timid about his opinions. He really didn't share too much, but it says, if this season was a person, I would kill it, throw it in a river, pour gasoline in the river, and light it on fire.
That's a little extreme.
I don't know how the water will light on fire, but...
I mean, it's an overall bad season, but it shouldn't warrant the death
of
human beings.
That's kind of like the blowing out of proportion I was talking about a few minutes ago. Like, it wasn't the best season, but I don't think it was nearly bad. That's the way I feel about Samurai at the moment. Like, I don't think it's that worthy of that bad stuff. Especially has Spencer in it. That means you're throwing Spencer in a river, and I'm not okay with that.
I'm not okay with that either. I want him to be my butler.
That'd be awesome. When we had the RR mansion with the meat sack, he's our butler.
All right, my turn.
Yeah, chip boy.
All right. I'm going to read an I Love Overdrive post, so I'm reading KO's. Because I think that's the only one on the board.
I just read one that was a fairly positive... Never mind, whatever.
No. I mean, like, this is like... No. This is none of what you read is like, this show is okay. This is like, I fapped this show.
Okay.
Says, okay, first of all, can anyone give a reason why they didn't like the season other than OMG theme song or OMG Benta? Yes. Several.
You didn't. You fell asleep for half of it.
You know what? Your mother.
Just saying.
This season gets a lot. That's why I fell asleep, because it was terrible. The season gets a lot of flack, and I don't see why it deserves it. Did you watch it with your eyes open or closed? I enjoyed this season, and I didn't ever find it unwatchable. Just recently marathoned it on Netflix. The theme song was shocking at first, but it's no worse than Mystic Forces, at least. Yes, it is. The characters didn't bother you, really. Mac was a great Red Ranger. I thought he was great. The whole iMac thing was interesting as well, and they did a good job alluding to it without saying it outright.
Ow. I didn't even do anything that time.
I wasn't at you. Oh. Dax did try to be overly funny, and at times he was more annoying than Chip. At times, like the whole time. But I liked that he wanted to be an actor who couldn't do his own stunts, even though he was a stuntman. Yeah. Well, Will was annoying at times, and you could easily just downright hate his character if you really, really decided to. I won't go off on the whole Benta rant, but nobody really knows the whole story on that anyway. I'm pretty sure we do.
Yeah, he stole from little children.
I'm pretty sure that's the whole story. I liked Ronnie more than Natsuki. Well, that's not hard. Oh, that's what she said. She had more character, and she was amusing with her socks and her race cars and all that.
Oh, yeah. Sure.
Rose I liked as well. She played the genius thing well, I thought, and her skills came in handy when Andrew's sophisticated equipment couldn't find it.
Her skills.
Yeah, that means she was under the desk. Tizon I really liked as well. What? He had one of the best intros for an additional ranger. His intro was fine, just everything after that sucked. And the way they combined the alien story from Bo-Kendra was great. Yes, I'll agree that. Andrew was okay, nothing really over the top, but he served his purpose even though Spencer was really the brains and Andrew was strictly the funds. Andrew, it's because Andrew couldn't find him a woman somehow. Spencer was an amazing character. They really did well to put all of Machino's quirks into him, and he even put his own spin on them. I still don't know what he means by that. I honestly don't.
Outside of being old and the one that presses the button on the computer, I don't see much of a correlation between Spencer and Machino, but...
I think Machino dressed up in a costume, like, twice. I think that was about it.
Yeah, I didn't see any relation at all.
I mean, Spencer did, like, every other episode because that's how cool he was. I love the Zords, of course, and I was more excited for Sonic Streaker than I ever was for Go-Go Jet. They're the same thing! Just saying! Sentinel Knight was a nice idea, but his story and his history with Thrax was clouded. We call that a plot hole. I'm not a big fan of Battleizer. Me either. But I really enjoyed Red Sentinel Ranger, and I was surprised that Bo-Kendra didn't use it like Decca Ranger did. I call that okay. We're good. We did that already in Japan. We called it Zerono's Vega form. Without Whirlwind. Transtech armor was incredibly stupid. Duh. The villains weren't as good as Bo-Kendra, but I thought they did a decent job, and Flurious was pretty good as an original villain since they obviously couldn't use Gaja. Not obviously. I mean, they could have just gotten another person. It's not that hard. They did it with other people. I wish Flurious would have been sick when episode said Rangers like Gaja talked. Oh, that would have been awful. Didn't like how much they dumbed down Yami no Yaiba, though. The team-up wasn't bad, but it needed more focus on writing rather than just throwing together like it was. They could have just made Alpha better. It would have made the team-up like 100 times better. I just spoke at Dawson speed. And it could have been a million times better if they just included the damn MMPR music. They didn't have to pay like 50 people. And
no, Adam's theme is way better.
It kind of was. Overall, this season was not bad. Definitely watchable and, again, doesn't deserve the flack it gets. Yes, it does. I mean, it doesn't get deserved. I don't think it deserves sound out level of flack, as funny as that is, but it definitely deserves to be beat in the face a few times with a stick.
Just a stick, though, not like a shovel or anything. I don't know what I'm saying anymore.
Oh my god. Okay, my turn?
Yep.
Like, those chips were a gift for KO.
Okay. So, I'm going to read a post from Harry543. This is his first post in the thread that he actually was able to get up before recording. Just going to tell you now, bro. We record on Monday, so posting this on Tuesday, technically Wednesday, wouldn't get you in anyway. But thanks to us being us...
Time travelers?
We're recording from the future, so we can read your post.
We're forced from the future.
I don't know what the fuck I just said. Anyway, so he said, let's start out with the story. It was a good story idea to have the Power Rangers made to look for treasure and not just do the whole daily blow up a monster. I got a real National Treasure vibe from the story overall. Find a clue, find a clue, find a clue, find the thingy. Having multiple threats going at each other was good to see. And I did like to see the smartest was the guy who just sat back and watched the others kill each other, and then he picked off the last one at his weakest moment. It was his brother. To point something out, I haven't watched Bo-Kendra as of this posting. Now, characters. Well, to be honest, almost all of them are forgettable, except for Spencer, Flurious, and for me, Mr. Hartford. Wolter was the typical bad guy who wanted the shiny thing in the end. Miratrix, well, let's just say I was glad when she got sucked into that crystal because I didn't have to see her again. And the whole IMAC thing was a cool and fresh thing to see. Is it bad of me to want him to actually die in the end? Yes. But then again, I should have seen the whole revive thing happening because it's Disney. Correct. Now for Arsenal. Well, to advise you, I have a OGNTT system. Oh god, not that thing system. And this mostly applies to the US exclusive made for the show. For this series, it applies to the Transtech armor the most. Then the Hovertech cycle, and finally the Battlefleet Zords. That's not exclusive. Yes, I included the Battlefleet at the time it premiered in the show. It was useful. But then after that, it seemed really forced in the show. I don't get it, but okay. As for the Ultra Zord and the Flashpoint Megazord, I actually like and to this day still want the toys of them. The Morphers were cool for me. I ended up getting the US Mercury Morpher. Now I want the Japanese version because of screen accuracy. Personally, the weapons had their place but are forgettable, just like the characters. For suits...
Did he write that or did you say it?
No, he wrote that.
Okay.
He had an XD at the end, so I gave it a little bit of excitement.
Okay.
For sweets, I assume you meant suits.
Sweet dough punk? Where?
They were okay, too, but I really liked the helmets this season. Hey, like you, Dawson.
Yay.
Now for the team-up. It was...
Click.
Click. It was great for me, especially at the time I just caught on SPD and Mystic Force. So seeing Xander and Bridge again was cool. Yes, I'm joining the Bridge fan base. Eats buttery toast. And of course, seeing Adam come back was awesome, and giving him an up-to-date morph sequence was awesome as well. The morph sequences were cool. Spelt funny. I already said my opinions about the villains and the characters. Overall, the season was watchable for me. Yes, there was a bad acting, especially Max. His was really off and on, I think.
Yeah, I thought...
Like, sometimes he was really good, and then sometimes he wasn't, so...
Kind of like everyone?
Yeah, basically, except...
Except for Will, because he can suck. It.
Yes, the theme is horrible, but after seeing the train wreck that is Samurai, my expectations were low, but it passed. My afterthoughts of the show and all, Ty was cool, he is going to be one of the few things I'm going to remember about the show. Well, that's a first. Along with the other memorable characters I already said, as the same for the Ultra Zord and the Flashpoint as well. I still don't like the Flashpoint. Pretty much I'm going to remember the characters a little bit more than I first did, but other than that, the season is forgettable. Not the worst, but definitely forgettable. I haven't seen Jungle Fury RPM yet, but that's for later tonight. He's faster than me.
Damn.
And he said, oh yeah, I forgot to put Norg on the Oh God, Not That Thing system. He was just that bad for me, and was really glad to see Mercury Ranger didn't get a case of Six Ranger Syndrome. First of all, Norg is the shit.
Norg is the shit.
Quoted for fucking truth.
Norg was one of my favorite things about the season.
Indeed.
I'm gonna go play with a leaf.
And instead of Mercury being a case of Six Ranger Syndrome, it turned into a case of...
On
generic alien syndrome.
In the case of douche syndrome.
Though he's an alien, so he's got to stare awkwardly at women, and even though he has a fiance, why is he so strange?
Well, I'm surprised he didn't try to shoot Hartford at one point and then start bullying the Blue Ranger. That's what surprised me. And I wondered where his little silver pimples on his head went.
He bullies Dex.
Look at you, you actor. You're a douche.
Can't or believe act. Rose.
Nerd. You gotta be cool like me and play soccer and have greasy hair. God. Only awesome people do that.
Alright, on to the next post.
Okay. I'm going to read Ramborg's user number 2772CJ. Okay. It's technically two posts, which could be combined into one, but okay. It says, when I was watching it from the beginning, I liked it, but it just got horsey as the show went on. I don't
what
think the... I don't know. I'm trying to combine horse, like, not spelled right, so I'm just going to read it the way it is. I don't think this is the horse season as Samurai. It's the worst. Wait. Samurai is the worst, and it hasn't even been completed yet. I agree. Samurai just sucks, and you can't deny that. For completed seasons, I was... He starts talking about Wild Force now. Anyway, for completed season, I have to say Wild Force. It's a direct copy of Gower Ranger besides Master Org, who have the same suit practically as Shadam. Shadam! It's like Shazam. The name. Shadam, they copy from Die Ranger. At least the characters, while very two-dimensional, were at least original. The only original thing about Wild Force was Cole's story and Master Org being, and him being a wild boy, which is just stupid. While most people hate Overdrive, I can respect it for being original, not a copy. I agree with that. And then he goes on to say, this team would be more epic. Red, Shugi, because he likes red. Black, me, because I'm racist. JK, I'm the character from Forze. blue Jedi Mom because that's the only color left. Yellow Kira, pink Jen, Mercury John Tui because Doggy. As Doggy because Doggy is badass dog. Okay.
Doggy is badass dog.
That would be a fun team, except I like the one with Date in it later too. Yeah. And I want Daniel Tosh to play pink.
Okay.
Is it my turn?
Oh, it's time for the epic post. Yeah. Everyone's favorite segment.
Okay. So this is Nico's news post, which I now have to read every fucking week.
Right.
So it says, "Oh, Overdrive, you had so much pros thanks to Japan, but also so much cons thanks to yourself. Also, this season was dubbed in Dutch here in the Netherlands just because it was the 15th anniversary for PR. Also, if Jedimon reads this, not so much capital words because this was a horrible season looking back now, even compared with Bokinger. Also, Shuki watched Bokinger.
I did. A long time ago. It was stupid.
Oh, shut up, you. Okay, so let's get the best thing out of the way first, the suits. The suits are awesome. Now, the worst thing, the character is Mac. Oh, God, I hate you, worst red ever.
No.
Well, he was overreacting when his powers worked in.
What? Dex? Where's Matt Ryder in here? Actor.
Can somebody bring a greed to him?
No.
What? Ronnie, she is kind of good to look at, but she was racing and racing and being all the time with speed busy. Jeez, that, can somebody bring here two greeds?
What?
Hell, no.
Speed, I just died.
Rose, she was a up and the only up for me of the actors. That doesn't even make sense.
She was an up.
At first time you see here, she looks like our second goth ranger. B, she is smart and Asian. Nothing more to say. Ties on. WTF, worst sixth ever.
No.
But his ranger's
maybe.
Suit is
I
nice.
Remember.
Zords are next. Another pro, thanks to Japan. The drivers are a dump truck, a formula racer, a gyrocopter, a dozer, a sub, a drill, a shovel, a cement mixer, a crane, and a jet.
I didn't
suit
know that.
Designer
thanks.
Of birth. Was just watching Bokinger when he was designing the claws.
That's how it's spelled.
Also, the drive max was cool. This is where Bandai starts getting greedy. In Japan, Flashpoint, a Megazords. We never got. Let's see. Lol, never. But that was a fire truck, a police car, and an ambulance, and it was Oki. Battle fleet was Oki.
What? I didn't know Oki was a battle fleet. Maybe.
I can't take this anymore. This show was so bad. Thanks to America. Oki, Shuki, go watch Bokinger. Then you know how the season should have been when they were doing... When they were doing... What the were doing with Samurai now. And if you don't understand, this season will be better if the copied Bokinger just like Samurai is doing it now. Oki, I give my opinion on the last Battleizer. After that, I will be waiting for Jungle Fury. Oki, so our last Battleizer until the Shogun Ranger... Debuts in Samurai. The Red Sentinel Ranger.
Sentinel.
The school I give that is was pretty awesome, but I think this is one of my favorite Battleizers. So I'm done. I'll be waiting for Gekiran. Oh, wait. I am Jungle Fury, and Kevin, better prepare your voice for that post. Wah-ha-ha-ha-ha. Bye.
That shit's so epic.
Okay, I have two things to say. One, I have watched Bokinger. I wrote that in the post, and it was terrible. I didn't like Bokinger at all.
You're stupid.
You're stupid.
No, you.
And two, how this season should have been? No. No. Bad. Bad, Nikozu. Bad.
She was all race busy. Or speed busy.
Speed busy. Like, I have no idea what he's trying to get at. Like, oh, they should have copied it. No. Don't copy Bokinger.
Don't copy any PR. Make your own ideas, you lazy bastards.
You're supposed to take from it and then craft your own thing. Not copy it. Bad Zatcher.
Bad Samurai. Bad Saban.
Bad. Got beat.
Damn, he's
Nikozu
on the ground now.
I only hit Nikozu once. And
I think Brian's hitting Zazier and Saban now.
I think that's all I had to really say besides the fact that Mac isn't the worst red.
No, he's not. That'd be a zombie.
I think Leo's pretty bad, too.
Yeah.
Carter?
As soon as he ripped off his shirt.
Carter at least, like, did things. I don't remember Leo doing anything. I just don't like Carter because he's Carter.
Carter Racing? Or Lightspeed Ranger? Or Lightspeed Rescuer, whatever he said. Go fuck yourself. Pops back in the barrel, rolls downhill. Do a barrel roll, Rick Medina.
Okay, so on to
final thingies.
Okay, so like I said at the beginning,
you mean Oki?
The question answer thing is up for download on the RAM boards exclusively for now because I has no server space.
It's an exclusive.
Unfortunately, this is not more expensive, though. I should charge for this, so that would have helped us.
No one would pay to hear us talk.
Share your thoughts about Jungle Fury and
in the fake thread.
Yeah, fake faker. Fake. I'm kidding. And that's
you
about
master debater.
It. I think. Has anyone got anything else? I don't think.
Our Candy Toy Month winners, we'll mention those guys?
Yes, we'll mention them now because I feel like mentioning them now. So, as you probably know, we are having a month-long Candy Toy Month to celebrate Oak Niwi doing this thing for a year.
Month-long Candy Toy Month, that sounds about right.
Derp, derp. And so we had three of the 4 weeks, because the fourth week was kind of like cut, and the first week was kind of cut, so it was... But anyway, we had 3 weeks.
Just cut everything. Everyone's
three different
dead.
Questions. And if you answered the question, then you were awesome and were entered into our drawing. So, Rio was kind enough to cycle through everything and randomly pick the peoples that did the winnings of the thing and the such. So, I'm delaying the fact because this page went low. So, the first two people, first place and second place, got a 1,000 yen gift card to CS Toys. The third place winner received a 500 yen gift card to CS Toys. And then fourth and fifth place winners received $5 off any of a select list of shirts on the Shirt Source store. So, yay!
Yay!
So, first place was Kurenai Otoya, so... So he won our first place. We got some stars here. Second place was Sound Out.
Did he do the dance? Oh.
Yes, he did the dance. Third place is Shining Wolf. Fourth place is Kamen Rider Epsilon. And then fifth place is our very own Nikozu. So congratulations to the five of you. I sent out emails already, and Mr. S will send the first three people their gift cards and stuff. Via emails and all of that fun stuff. So congrats, guys. Thanks for participating.
Yay.
Gotta do everything myself.
He was busy chewing and I was busy waiting for something funny to happen.
Okay. Anyway.
Almost.